Steve, thanks. Hi, it's us. It's your pals, Bill and Wendy. Thrilled to be here on a Thursday. It's 312-981-7200. If you have the urge to call us or text us, please do.
I can't wait until our president, Barack Obama, talks to Artemi Panarin about his hat trick last night. And Artemi right. goes, huh?
Yep. There will be a moment or two like that, I would imagine.
Pretty exciting to go to the White House with a big fat win under your belt or your skates.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be that's an honor, right? So the president
Absolutely.
Calls you in if you're a championship team. It usually happens in baseball. It's been happening, luckily, for the Blackhawks a bit. So I would imagine that this is probably on their lifetime highlights reel to meet the president at the White House.
Who were we talking to before? Was it Doc Emrick who went with, or Eddie Olchek? Somebody that we spoke to.
I think Eddie accompanied them,
It's just, come on, man. Whether you like the president or not, it's the White House.
I have a friend who works with Golden State.
Yeah.
And they were there just, maybe it was 2 weeks ago. And I'm texting with him while he's in the White House.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That
is
great.
He's talking about how there's, the president's there and others. And
you're a big texter, aren't you?
No, not that big. But I had him. I asked him to steal something for me. I haven't seen it yet, but we'll see.
Who was it at the Grammy Awards? I'm just thinking, how you can take a picture of something while you're not looking like you're taking a picture of something. There was a woman who was, I think it was Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
I think T. Swift was sitting there. And you see there's a little girl clapping, and then there's a woman next to her kind of holding her phone to, take pictures inconspicuously.
Sure.
I'd be doing that all over the White House.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if the Blackhawks have done this on their two previous Stanley Cup championships or if they only did it one time before. Do you know if this is the third time, Steve? Do we know for sure?
I don't know the answer to that.
I can't remember if there were
two
other
visits. I think last time was the first one, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. It's weird. He always, whoever the president is, always calls the winning Super Bowl team. He always has the winning baseball team. And as Steve pointed out, in basketball. So, yeah, all four of the major sports are covered.
And, of course, I tweeted something last night about, going to see POTUS. And I realized now that he's leaving office is the first time I'm following the president of the United States. I should have, followed him before on Twitter.
Yeah.
I felt guilty. Why didn't I jump on that bandwagon earlier?
What are the Twitter tweets that are given by the president? What sorts of things does he do?
It's funny you mention that because as I, followed him, I was scrolling down to see what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And just things.
Just general observations?
Yeah, I have to sign in and then I can
pull
up some of
these. Not many. I mean, he's only got 224 tweets on this account.
Is that that's low, isn't it, for somebody in the public eye?
How many followers does he have?
He just 2 hours ago, he used it to announce his trip to Cuba. So he does things like that. Let me see.
And he also mentioned when Peyton Manning came to the White House, too. He was talking about hooking up with them.
So are we?
It's just like you, Wendy. He's got 6,384,606 followers.
You're neck and neck.
But he's only following 71.
And are we to believe that he actually?
Oh, it's him.
It's definitely him who does this.
Steve, wasn't that a big news story before? That is definitely him who's doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably is. I mean, if he's only because I'm sure there's a White House one that I follow, but if he's only tweeted 200 times,
it's him. The Pope does his, too.
I know the Pope has a Twitter account.
Except for the Pope may be in Mexico.
Right. And popes have been on Twitter for centuries, right? He's not the first pope to be on the Twitter, right? That dates back to the 1400s,
I
believe.
Think Pope Benedict might have been tweeting, too.
Oh, was he?
I think
yeah.
so.
That's such
a funny picture.
The concept of a pope just supposed to be doing something, but instead he's just typing characters in very quickly. I imagine both thumbs just moving like lightning as he tweets.
He's not a thumb.
I think Pope John in the 60s was tweaking, but that was the 60s.
All right, go back. A pope is not tweeting with his thumbs because anyone over 40 does not use their thumbs.
It's index finger, character
it's us.
By character.
We're old.
Sure.
The kids are like, oh, my God. What's funnier is my vision of the
I
Pope.
I don't use my index finger.
Not at all? Are you doing quick, rapid thumb movement like every teenager in the world?
Not as fast as them, but I use my thumb.
Oh.
The funniest thing I am envisioning right now is the Pope with the earbuds on. That's funnier than him tweeting.
Right.
We need to take a quick break, and then we're going to join all the Blackhawks action live at the White House with POTUS.
Yeah.
No, How could you not love our president, Barack Obama?
Well, I do and you do, and there's plenty who do, but then there are many who do not for various reasons. So
I'm waiting back for the backlash on the beer league comment he made.
Right, there will be some.
He's listening to our show, evidently, because we have talked about that, because I didn't know what a beer league was either.
Right. Right.
And I said I would like to be a cheerleader on the beer league because it sounds like a fun time. Also talked about the mustaches and the coaches.
There's a mustache factor to the winning coaches and managers of Chicago sports.
Because I questioned was it Fox or Madden who doesn't have any facial hair? And I said, maybe they should grow a mustache and they'll start winning.
It's a sure sign of victory here in the city. If your coach or manager has a mustache, you're going to do well for some weird reason.
He's pulling an Amy Schumer.
Is he? Is he Schumering us? I hope that's not the case.
What a great time to be president. It's the end of your term and you get to do this fun stuff.
It's so strange because everybody talks about how you're a lame duck president. There's nothing to do now but just wait out the rest of your term. But it's 11 months, though. It's so amazing to me. That's such a long time. He doesn't just clock in and clock out. He still has duties. And, I mean, the naming of another Supreme Court judge is another example of people going, oh, come on, he's on his waning days. But it's 300-plus days. He's still the president.
Almost a year.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. So that has to happen. It was very nice to see Coach Q smiling.
Not just smiling, but
beaming.
There was a laugh or two. he's very stoic normally, but today he was all smiles.
See, this is what it shows, in my opinion, like President Barack Obama or not.
Yeah,
he's the president of the United States.
Yeah,
and whoever resides in the White House is someone we should all respect.
Well,
I didn't really love George Bush, but when he was president, I respected him. I respected the office.
That's the key to this, though, is there's a difference between respecting the office and respecting the man. And I'm with you, especially on George W. Bush. Couldn't stand the guy. Was embarrassed every day for 8 years that he was the president. And at the same time, I understood that he was the president. So there had to be some kind of respect for the office.
He seems like a guy I would like to have a beer with. I know he doesn't drink anymore, George W.,
yeah.
But he seemed like a really likable guy, too. And it's funny to listen to people blame Barack Obama for some of the stuff that George W. did.
Democrats are always going to blame Republicans. Republicans are always going to blame Democrats. That's how it spins.
I know.
It's so unfair. And any bad thing that's ever happened in our lifetime anyway, when you bring it up and you go, well, how about this? There was a Democrat in the office when it happened. People go, yeah, but it started when there was a Republican in the office and the other way around.
That's why, I'm sorry, but why can't we just do away with the party system? I'm not being funny. I know it would be impossible, but why can't we?
Because I've heard it explained that if you even consider doing that, you need opposition. Because if there's just one party, then what do you have? Think about it. If there was just one party and they made all the decisions, what would we have? It would be awful. You need some sort of opposition.
But we're so twisted now. I just was seeing on TV where, I don't know, apparently some campaign has dummied up a picture of Marco Rubio shaking Barack Obama's hand.
Yeah.
And he's disavowing it. Like, I didn't do that.
Oh, that there was a fake picture?
And it does look fake, but it's like, well, is that
bad?
Is that an offense
to
shake someone else's hand from the other side to work with them or to at least listen to them? That's where we are now. Oh, my God, I did not. You know, it was the same with Christie. Oh, I hugged him, but I didn't mean it. You know,
see, that's
disgusting. It's like we can't do it.
Isn't that terrible? And already, I'm already being called a ditz, and I don't know anything. A bad word, because I like another bad word that ends with Obama. I mean, see how mean everybody is? He's the president. He's our president, whether you like him or not. I mean, Pat, you don't agree with some of the presidential decisions, but how can you not like the guy?
I like the guy a lot as a person. I have actually met him when he was in Springfield and talk with him for a while and everything else. Very likable man. I enjoy him. First of all, he's our favorite son from Illinois. Second of all, I don't necessarily agree with all of his policies, but I respect the office of the presidency no matter who it is, whoever's in there. But I really enjoy him, and he's got a real good sense of humor. He really does. So
somebody said he should turn to stand up. Somebody texted that in. He was pretty funny.
Yeah, well, he could take a couple of lessons from Bill, and that would be good.
I work with him. Pat, is that a hard thing for you, though, to be able to separate in your head liking the guy for being a guy as opposed to liking him for being the president? Is that an easy transition for you?
Yeah, it is. I don't have the problem with that. I mean, I'm kind of more of an independent than anything else, and I vote for what I think is right and what I think is good. And at the same time, though, he is a very likable individual. I mean, he's not a malicious, unkind person. And that, to me, is what the world needs more of.
That comes across, too, with him.
And
it
when
really
you
does.
Say he's not unkind, that's what bothers me so much. You know, we're all here to voice our opinion when it's time to vote. But why does everybody have to be so mean about your decision?
That's what it's become.
But it's just, it's really sickening.
Right.
So you don't like Obama? Great. You know, you don't have to like him. But why are you mad at me because you don't like him?
This country has been founded on the ability to be able to disagree in a peaceful and normal transition from one power to another or whatever we need to do. And it has become, in the last 15, 20 years, it has become just very, for lack of a better word, vicious. And I don't like that.
I blame Rush Limbaugh.
Are you putting it all on him?
Yeah, well, there's plenty of blame to go around, I'll tell you that.
Pat, amen to what you said. And what's your last name? I want to write you in on the presidential ballot, and I will vote for you.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
Thanks, Pat, very much.
And let the record show, by the way, Pat did not give you his last name. He does not want your vote. He just wants your friendship.
And that's what we all should have. You don't have to agree with me. You know, I like purple. There are people who don't like purple. Do they say, you're stupid, you're a ditz, you're fat, you're ugly because you like purple? Please.
I know. Last night, I watched Ted Cruz on CNN. He was being interviewed. It was one of those town hall things. And I think the difference between Barack Obama and a guy like Ted Cruz is Barack Obama just seems comfortable in nearly every situation, where I've never seen Ted Cruz look comfortable in any situation.
He's not comfortable in his own skin. He's in someone else's skin. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
He does have that creep factor.
I don't know what it is about him, but he comes across more as an evangelist than he does as a politician. And I know for religious people, that's fine.
Do you know how many wars have been started over religion? That is not, I mean, that is wrong.
Yeah. But I don't know who saw it last night, but I kept watching it and watching it going, at some point, a human version of Ted Cruz will emerge from this, and it never happened. I watched almost the entire thing. I flipped off during the Blackhawks game and then when the Hawks were over, I watched the rest of it, and he just comes off, and Marco Rubio is the one who's criticized as being robotic. But watch Ted Cruz. It's like watching a televangelist.
Or Tron.
But every one of his answers, it's all you can see the way he files things in his head. And that, like people have said, our last caller said, I like the man with Obama. I don't like what he's doing with the presidency. I always go for somebody that I think is personable and likable and, you know, I just, so many of the candidates this time around just don't have it.
All right. But Pat said when he was on the line with us that he doesn't necessarily agree with a lot of President Obama's decisions.
Right.
That doesn't mean he hates everything.
Right.
You know, and that's why you should be able to have a conversation about your differences and not just go back to name calling. That is what Trump is showing right now, that it's okay to do. If you know, I like that he changed the playing field a bit with the debates and with how people maybe don't want a politician to run this country. But he's also bringing to the table that when you don't agree with someone, you just call him a name.
Yeah, that's the move.
That's terrible.
There was that moment when he lost Iowa, where he seemed for a moment, he congratulated Ted Cruz. And we all said the next day, well, how long is that going to last? And it didn't even last through the next day. He accused him of cheating, and maybe he was. I don't know. But it's just that's what it's become.
You know what, Bill? We're going to hell in a handbasket. That's what we are doing. our forefathers before us, because their forefathers come before us.
True.
That's what they said.
Right.
I do want to read this text before we go to a commercial
sure.
break. 312-981-7200. Wendy, Bill, do you think the president prefers Panarin, the left winger, over Kane, the right winger?
Oh, that's a good question.
Very
that's
good
a
one.
Solid question. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got more show. You want to jump in? You can. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Timmy, the long Chevrolet newsboy, not happy with that read, by the way. Says you stole from him. You Amy Schumer'd him.
Where is he now?
I don't know where he is now.
We gotta
Should we find
him?
Kevin, get us Timmy the long Chevrolet newsboy. I bet Kevin will have no idea who
yeah,
that is.
Do you even have any clue? Extra, read all about it. Long Chevrolet
yeah,
has more trucks.
He's the guy that said that.
All right.
Extra, read all about it. Boy gets hit in the face with pie.
What? Enter pie. That was... What a life-changing moment that was for many of us, right?
Timmy, where are you?
We'll find him. Please, there was a text that was sent in. Many texts were sent
yeah,
in, but this one in particular, 312-981-7200, if you want to join in, saying, what if Donald Trump becomes president? Will you still respect the office then?
Yes, really. Would you respect the office of the president if, God forbid, Trump was elected in?
So yes, what's your answer there?
I would. I know I make jokes that I'm moving. Listen, if the people have spoken and the votes are tabulated,
right?
What am I to do?
Right.
Unless I move to Canada with Alec Baldwin, whom he never left.
That should be a law that if you say you're going to leave the country, if blank is elected president, you have to leave the country.
You can't just say it.
Or didn't Ted Nugent say that he'd either be dead or in jail? Ted, you either
We're
have to
waiting.
Die
Clock
or go to jail.
Ticking. Teddy.
You threw it. You offered it. You have to play by your own rules.
And it says, you know, Wendy, pretty hypocritical statement. You get angry every time the name Trump comes up. We talk about Trump every day. He's in the race, people.
You can't escape Donald Trump at this point. He is the biggest story in the country on a daily basis for what he says, for what he does, for the mere fact that he's leading in the polls. It would be irresponsible to not mention him on a daily basis, wouldn't it? And I would also, I'm on your side on that. I think he'd be a horrible mistake for the presidency, but I would still respect the office. Not him as the president, but yes, the office. And I'm not going to Canada.
I want to go to Canada, but I don't want to move there.
No.
I was
Take
thinking,
a weekend. Go to Toronto for a few days, but then come back.
We were just talking about that because we need to do a family vacation, you know, a family trip.
Canada's beautiful.
And we thought, isn't Toronto where the Hockey Hall of Fame is?
Yeah,
And then
is.
You could go swing by and see Niagara Falls.
Right.
I went there when I was a kid. It was very memorable. I went on the Maid of the Mist. I had to put on that raincoat.
Right. Do that.
I'll visit, but...
But you can come back. But Alec Baldwin must stay and Ted Nugent must go to jail. Well, that's up to him if he wants to choose that option.
773, what has happened to civility, social media? I couldn't agree with you more. Respect the office, if not the man.
But how did that happen? How did it become, like I remember a generation ago, let's say there were two people and one person leaned to the left and one to the right. They could talk about it. When it was done, it was done. But now it's just, it's gouging and slapping and fighting and biting. How did that happen?
Rush Limbaugh. I am not kidding you.
I think he's a big part of it.
Because
and not just him, but
no,
people...
the whole right wing movement where it was, you know, it's my way or the highway. It's my view or you're an idiot.
Right. And it's not just Limbaugh, it's others. And they are on both sides. For some reason, the Republican angry talkers have gotten a lot more notoriety than the left-wing angry talkers. But it
Who
is, it's
was the left-wing
on...
angry talker?
Because
there were
Phil
like
Donahue.
Two. Well, there were a couple that tried to do it in radio form, and it just didn't go anywhere.
Janine Garofalo for a while, and it didn't go extremely well. And Stephanie Miller for a while.
Yeah.
And I know she's still working, but I don't think her act is...
Well, there was the whole network. What was the network that...
I don't know. See how quickly we forget?
It that, came and went pretty quick.
The Minnesota senator was the morning... Al Franken was the
yes.
morning host.
Yeah, yeah.
And see, that's just...
Air America, was it?
Air America.
Boy, yeah, good one. That'll be a Trivial Pursuit question someday.
Mm-hmm. In the angry political version of Trivial Pursuit.
Or radio format failures.
Right. Right, that'll be the category for that.
But we used to be able to discuss things. I mean, you know, you and I don't see eye to eye on many things, and we don't
right.
sit there and call each other names, well, not on the air.
Off the air we do, but we do
All
not
right.
on the
Good
air.
Good point.
Right. All right, let's do this. A break and then some news and then a lot more show, including our friend Pete Schwabel will join us. And then later on, Richard Dent and William Refrigerator Perry will be by. So that's going to be fun.
Have you watched that 30 on 30 yet?
I've not seen their
episode. I have it on the DVR. I have not watched it.
I'm anxious to get the inside story. Well, we'll talk to them. So stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder, and we are joined by a friend of ours, Pete Schwabe. Pete is a comedian, an actor, a writer, producer, and it says and more, Pete. And what does that mean? Because I see that sometimes on resumes when it says and more. What else are you?
Wow, I do nails.
Do you do nails?
Yeah, and my goal is to be a junior sales associate at some point. But you don't want to put that on. It's not sexy to put that on a resume.
No, it's not sexy, but it shows ambition. That you want to at least you have a...
Well-roundedness.
Very well-roundedness.
You know what makes it not sexy is the junior part.
I
but that's
don't
where you start.
Overshoot. Yeah, exactly. No, that's where I want to be.
Well, you want to end up there.
Stop right there. I don't want the responsibility of being the senior sales associate.
What would the perks be? What do you think the perks would be if you got to that part?
Mileage.
You get some mileage. They'd reimburse you for mileage.
There'd be a per diem.
Oh, I know there'd be a per diem.
For a junior sales associate?
I think so. Yeah.
I don't know, Bill.
You don't know?
Everyone's ready to call in right now.
Probably get to park close to the building.
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe a cafeteria in the building.
Yes, that would be nice.
I'd love
cafeterias. I'm not getting the Lumberg spot, but you know, maybe,
right,
maybe down
further
a few
down,
spaces.
Right.
Hey, I did an independent film last month. And
yeah.
Richard, I think I'm saying his name right, Richard Relay. He was in the movie. Really, Relay? He was the guy who had the jump to conclusions map.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
what
yeah.
What a nice guy.
Was he nice?
Very
yeah.
nice. And I was pestering him about Office Space. He probably wanted me to go away.
So now you're doing independent films. Things are going good.
Yeah, I did a part as an actor. It was fun. Yeah. It was called Aquarians. It's a good movie. And
are you an Aquarian?
I don't know. When do you have to be born to be an Aquarian?
I'm an Aquarian. I'm Feb 12, so.
Oh, no, no. I'm not a, not by the, I just thought you meant in general. Do I like water?
Do you enjoy water, Pete?
Yes.
Junior Aquarian?
That's on my list of questions
for
you.
I'm a fan of water.
Pete, do you ever use water? Pete is appearing at Zany's where they have a generous supply of water. I've
free
been
water.
There a few times. You get as much water as you want.
Comped.
Is
really?
That true?
That's when you're a junior sales associate. That's the kind of perks you get.
All right. Here's the question that needs to be asked. We were just talking about how at some point the country decided that you either must go to the left or to the right. You can be in the middle, but that's not going to work. You got to go left or you go right. And if somebody that you're talking to doesn't agree with you, then you fight. Do you believe that? Is what happened?
I don't. It's very caustic right now, isn't it? It's too
it
bad.
Is.
And I live, you know, I moved from L.A. where everybody kind of thought like me, or so it seemed.
Yeah.
And now I'm in an area where it's pretty much 50-50.
Yeah.
And
In
Wisconsin, yeah. And I'll say if Donald Trump gets elected, I'm moving back to Los Angeles.
Well, now you're not leaving the country.
Yeah,
so
that
that's,
doesn't make any difference. Does
still
it?
Gonna,
so I'm not really.
He would still go. I think. If,
oh, okay, I gotcha.
If my political skills are with me, I think he would still be your president in California.
But it's warmer there, and it might
it's
be nicer there.
Oh, I meant for the weather. Yeah,
oh.
It has nothing to do with politics.
It has nothing to do with politics. All right, good.
Yeah, it is true though.
Talking about you looking a little tired on your way.
Are you tired, Pete? What's wrong?
You know what? I tried to take the train down.
Yeah.
And I was hurrying because I didn't know where I was going. I'm out in St. Charles. And I tried and I went around. I didn't wait for the cross. The guy called them arms that go down.
The crossing gate?
And the crossing gate. Yeah. And I kind of took a quick shortcut. No big deal. But apparently I'm on like the TSA no fly list now for... This guy was furious with me.
A police officer?
No, it's
just
a
passerby. Oh.
A conductor said, we are not letting you on this train. He said, and he called them arms. He goes, when those arms go down, buddy. I said, I'm sorry, I'm from out of town, which is like the Clark Griswold, like, who cares?
Right.
You know? And he goes, I don't care where you're from when those arms go down.
But does he have jurisdiction? He
Absolutely.
He's the engineer? Or
to
who
yell
was?
At me, I guess he does.
He shouldn't yell at you.
He seemed like...
Does he know how sensitive you are?
Apparently not, Bill. And I'm sorry this guy didn't make, you know, the Navy SEALs, but he's really kind of in my face about it. And I'm like, I don't know.
So from now on, if you ever want to board a train anywhere, are you going to be barred from a train?
Wait, apparently. He really didn't let you on?
He really didn't let me on the train, so I had to go back to my car. But here's
and write out 100 times, I will be more careful at crossing
I got
gates.
A detention. I thought that was, you know. But as I went back to my car, the cop was about to give me a ticket. Apparently, I parked in the wrong space,
oh,
too.
Wow.
So it kind of worked out.
Was it really worth coming in to talk to us?
Huh?
Was it really worth coming in to talk to us with all
that
going on?
I'm happy to be here.
You're having a tremendous day.
It's off to a good start.
People from every walk of life are mad at you.
No, you know what will make it better is that conductor will be in the front row tonight at the show, and he will have heard this interview.
If this was a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, that's exactly how it would end.
Or bomp, Seinfeld bomp, with a pilot.
Yeah, right.
That
that's
would
right,
be excellent.
Right. Wow.
God, I hope he's there.
Pete, in a case like this, do you try to plead your case with him and say, hey, I apologize. It'll never happen again. Let's be friends. Well, did you try that?
I kind of did that when I said, you know, I didn't see the arms. Yeah. I didn't know they were called. Crossing gate is what I thought, too. But I didn't see them, and I'm from out of town. As out of town came out of my mouth, I'm like, who are you, Clark Griswold? This isn't going to hold any water with this
guy.
You
knew as you were saying it.
Oh, you're out of town. You're from out of town.
Well, right. Come on
federal,
in.
These are federal guidelines, apparently. So come on the train. No, he didn't do that.
Though,
Okay, maybe you didn't see the arms come down, but did you see the flashing lights or hear the ding, ding, ding?
You know, when I'm coming down to WGN to do radio, I'm
nothing
so
gets in
focused.
The way.
I'm just...
Right.
Hyper-focused.
Exactly. And I didn't see the... I could have gotten hit by an arm. That would have been... That would have served me right. The train would have ran over me. Then this guy would have been happy.
I think
that's
that would
what
have...
you get.
Right. And he would have told that story to other people who did similar things. You go, I'll tell you a time in 2016, there was a guy, and he would tell your story, essentially. You'd
that's
be
right.
a lesson for others.
I would. I would save lives.
Oh, no. Do you want some soothing tea?
No, I'm okay. Right. Thank you. That's
you know,
nice.
I hate that you didn't get on the train, but I'm proud of the conductor for not letting you on. I really am. You there are
Wendy's
so many.
Wendy's a stickler for train regulations.
You guys, okay. You go up against that's a train, fair. You're not going to win.
That's true.
Ever.
I wasn't racing the train, Wendy. I mean,
no,
I,
but
all
you
I did
go
was...
in, and then a train comes from the opposite direction and takes you down.
That's how it happens, Pete.
It's happened to me twice in my life, and you'd think I'd learn from that.
Right. You, by the way, have had more incidents with at train crossings than everyone else I know put together.
I've been hit by an L, a subway.
Were you hit by an L?
Yeah.
Submarine?
Just bumped. Not. It was, that's
submarine. Happen.
I got hit by a submarine.
Please be careful. Now I worry about you.
Well, I appreciate
all right.
that. Do you have a book out? Because the title should be You on the Cowcatcher. Remember the old trains with the cowcatcher on the front?
Yes.
Like you just laying there.
Yeah. That would
sprawled.
Be the cover of the book.
Yes. Work on that.
Not again.
Right. The Pete Schwab story, not again. It's awful. All right. Pete Schwab is here, and we're lucky to have him. He almost didn't make it, folks. If close. You want to jump in with your train stories, your crossing guard stories, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy WGN. Pete Schwab is here. He's a comedian that has no regard at all for locomotive law here in the United States. He's appearing at Zanies. If they let them, they may not let you. There's texts coming in, Pete. People are upset about this.
Yeah, I understand.
Pete, I am not kidding you. There are 10 texts about you going
you're like an
past
outlaw.
The arms.
Yep, you've gone too far.
You know, we don't have trains where I live now.
There's
so
no
I'm a little,
trains?
I'm a step slow, yeah, honestly. I mean, there's like freight trains. You know, I could do like a...
You could hop on the back
Arlo
like Boxcar Willie.
Listen to this. That's against the law. You cannot cross those gates. My boyfriend is a conductor, and he would not have let you on either. And then,
and he's a conductor for an orchestra. That's how serious he takes this.
He'd point to you with his little poker.
Right.
He's waving me off in a maestro.
The whole woodwind
again,
section
I'm
would
not
freak
disputing
you leave.
It's against the law.
$500 fine.
Saying,
you are
you're
so
lucky,
lucky.
You're lucky they didn't charge you $500.
Yeah.
Here's what this
probably
reminds me
be
of.
Talking about it.
When I was doing stand-up, I was in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And you know how there's downtown Kalamazoo, and sadly... Every year you would visit Kalamazoo, one or two or three more shops would close. So now in Kalamazoo, there's a downtown, but it's like a ghost town. There's just
oh my
not
gosh.
Much going on there. So I was there, and I was crossing the street, and there's no cars, and there's no people, and there's no business. It's just me crossing a street. But it was a red light, but there was nobody within a mile of me.
Were you
and
in the crosswalk?
No.
You nope. like living dangerously,
nope.
my friend.
So as I'm crossing, I hear a whistle. Like a kid would get from Cracker Jack.
And like Officer Krupke?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
From West Side Story?
Yes. So it's oh that whistle. It's like that old whistle that the Keystone Cops used in the 1940s. And I keep on walking, and then I see a police officer running from an alcove. He's like hiding in the alcove, and he hands me a ticket for
$5. What?
And I said, there must be some way around this. And he goes, no. He goes, you could dispute it, but I'm going
to
be there.
Drive back to
it's right for a $5 ticket.
Hey, gendarme.
But he was – I've never seen anyone angrier. And I think he was angry at the fact that I thought it was a joke. I'm like, can I just give you the $5? No, you have to show up to court if you wanted to. And I go, I don't want to defend it. I did it.
At least make the ticket like $100 or something.
No, I didn't want to suggest that.
Well, I know, but then it would mean more.
Charge me more. Sounds like they need the income.
I know.
They're losing businesses.
I know.
Get out there and write some
And tickets. I said to him, I go, do you think that's going to bring business back to downtown Kalamazoo, is just giving a guy walking across the street a $5 right. ticket? He didn't find it amusing.
And that's why
not
he got
the
ticket.
Not at all.
He should have told me you were actually there scouting a location for your new business, and now right. you can take a long walk right. off a short pier.
I'm going to open a business in Bridgman and teach you a lesson. Yeah, we'll show you what's what.
That's funny.
How do you like living in Wisconsin? Do you enjoy it? You're from there originally.
No, I'm from Chicago originally.
Did you move there as a kid, though?
I did in junior high.
Yeah.
But I've never lived there as an adult. We're enjoying it. We got a nice house. My parents live in the town we live in. It's very slow pace, but, you know, nice people. And it just makes it harder to get everywhere, you know, to go to an airport.
Oh, yeah.
The Green Bay Airport is 45 minutes away. That's always two flights. You know, if I drive to Milwaukee, that's a 2.5-hour drive. And so, you know, it makes things more difficult, but... I'm hosting a show on PBS Wisconsin called Director's Cut, which is about independent film. That's a really fun show. In fact, we just had a guest on named Stanley Nelson, and his film was on Independent Lens. It's about the Black Panthers.
Oh, nice.
And when I was a kid growing up here in Chicago, my mom took us to the trial of Fred Hampton.
Seriously?
Honestly, yeah.
Now, I as a kid, though, did you...
No, yeah, we went, and it was fascinating. I've always had this obsession or this fascination with the Black Panthers.
But as a kid, you didn't appreciate the importance of what was going on, did you?
Well, I was in the Black Panthers.
Oh, you remember the Black Panthers.
They called me Naven.
Nice.
Like Steve Martin.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. But because of that, I knew I went to that trial, and I was exposed to it. So I thought, you know, whenever there was something on A&E about the Panthers, I always watched it, especially the Fred Hampton, because he was the Chicago chapter. So it was a pretty interesting story. And the film is on this month on Independent Lens. So that's a really fun show to host, and I'm finding ways to keep busy there. But I love coming to Chicago because I get to see friends.
The big city.
And I get to take trains. And
what about
I just want to know how far it is from your front door to your mailbox, because that's what I think when I think of Wisconsin.
It's down the road.
See,
it's not
down
the
road. That's kind of exciting because it makes your mail delivery like a big event.
Yeah, we sit and wait at the window. We have hot chocolate, you know. But it is. We live in this little community where the roads are like 10 feet wide.
Oh, really?
Not in the whole town, but in this little, and it's by the water. So it's a nice.
That sounds great.
Yeah, moose, Pete. Do you get moose?
I haven't seen a moose. I've seen bobcats.
Oh, wow.
I've seen kids.
Oh, there's
kids
out there?
Yeah, when you see kids running by.
That's scary.
And the occasional coyote, as they call them there.
We've got coyotes here in our backyard, yeah. Put the dog in.
In the suburbs, I assume.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's kind of freaky. I mean, you know, I thought it was just a stray dog or something, and then a couple of them came, and they had killed a rabbit and dragged the carcass away.
Whoa.
And there's a story once a year about a family who takes in a stray dog and then realizes about a week later that you get that story about once a year here when they can't find their baby.
Oh,
and they're like,
no.
Well, we had a baby and now we don't. What happened to the baby? Well, that's because you have a coyote. That's why.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yep.
Can we see your PBS show here in Chicago?
Yeah, well, you can see the interview. Yeah, it's on, you have to go online, but it's PBS.
Do I need a computer for that?
It's WPT.org and click on Director's Cut. And all of our episodes are the interview part of the show, and we have some good films, good documentaries, you know.
That's exciting. And,
it is. It's really fun. It's fun to interview people. WPT.org and click on Director's Cut. And, hello, ladies. And,
let the record show there are ladies at the window. Pete's not just seeing imaginary phantoms.
No, I missed that show, actually.
Imaginary phantoms. But you have, I hope people know this, you have a little bit of history when it comes to independent films. You did a film here that got incredible notoriety.
Yeah, I've written some films. I wrote a movie called A Guy Thing, which MGM put out. I did an indie film called The Godfather of Green Bay, which played in Chicago, and we used a lot of actors from Chicago. And the only mistake I made was that I played the lead role.
Now, when you look back on it, because at the time you even said, we should be getting a real actor, but it's me. But that was a fun experience to play the lead in a movie.
I was right up until we shot. I'm like, if Cusack doesn't call me back, I'm going to have to do this.
Do you know who Lauren Holly is, Wendy?
Yes.
She was the female lead, the love interest
right.
for Pete. And I think you just wrote the whole movie so you could kiss Lauren Holly.
I did. It changed a lot once I saw how pretty Lauren was. I changed the scene. No, but Tony Goldwyn was in it. Tom Lennon, a Chicago guy.
Yeah.
And a lot of our friends that are comedians are in it. It was a very fun experience. But it's hard to do all that and act and direct. And
sure.
So it's not my thing. I'd rather...
And music by the Smithereens, if I'm not mistaken,
the Bodines.
The Bodines.
Oh, my God, I love the Bodines.
They were
at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles. You should have come in last weekend.
I should have. I keep missing them everywhere we go. I'm...
Although
Sammy Yonis
is not in there in the band anymore.
No, he's gone.
But Kurt Newman's still there. Big Bodines fan.
Yeah.
Kurt's great. He's a great musician.
Give a final pitch to convince people to come and see you at Zany's, Pete. What do they need to know to enjoy the show tonight?
Mike Toomey's on the show.
Oh,
that's
he's
a
all right.
reason. He
he's
does well.
Reason.
He's having trouble following me, but, you know, he'll do fine. He's a pro.
Right.
It's a good show. It's a lot of fun. I hope people come out. St. Charles tonight, Rosemont tomorrow night, and then back to St. Charles. I'm trying to stay one step ahead of the law.
You have to. That's all you can do, especially now.
Yeah, the train people
morning.
Are going to get you.
That's right.
Go to WPT.org. I just want to tell people that. And director's cut right there on the welcome page. And you can watch now a series about independent films with Wisconsin Connections, hosted by Pete Schwabba. I'll be looking at that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Pete, I'm going to predict tonight's show the audience is going to be filled with engineers and train conductors
who
have a bone
to
pick.
It's going to be an angry evening of comedy for you. Be ready.
Wouldn't be the first.
No, of course not. It's Pete Schwab, everybody. We'll take a quick break, and then Kim with the news. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
He's Dean.
He is Dean. No one can dispute the fact that he's Dean. Hi, Dean. How
are
things?
Not just Dean, but Dean, Dean.
Dean, Dean, Dean. Oh, Dean. Oh, Dean.
Dean, Dean. Oh.
It's a catchy tune.
It is.
Once it's in your head, you can't get rid of it.
Correct.
Dean, before we go to this week's movies, a couple of stories from the world of show business. Number one, we were all hoping here in Chicago that the Lucas Museum would come off without any kind of a hitch, but that doesn't seem to be the case. Now we might lose it.
You keep telling me, Bill, that it's happening.
Everything looked like we were all go, but now this week things have changed.
There are definitely some hitches because there are some lawsuits. Friends of the Park have filed a lawsuit trying to stop the whole thing, saying that you can't build on the lakefront.
I thought that was disputed, though, and I thought, you know...
Resolved?
Friends, yeah.
It seemed to have been,
yeah,
but no.
I think there's still a pending case, as I understand it. So a judge has said that, you know, they can go ahead and start building, but depending on how all of this is resolved, it's possible that everything may need to be torn down. So, you know, it's just kind of up in the air right now.
Do you know how much money this city is going to lose? I know I'm married to the biggest Star Wars fan in the world, but... It's going to bring so many people, so much money.
Yeah.
It's worldwide. It's loyal. Star Wars fans want to come here. I don't want to lose it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a huge positive for us. But, you know, the Friends of the Park, they have their priorities.
They're no friends of mine, Dean. I'll tell you that right now.
They're no friends of Wendy's, Dean. And they could, if Lucas wanted to, they could open this up in any city. I mean, San Francisco is knocking themselves out to get this thing. They could easily get the museum, couldn't they?
Yeah, very true. The museum and all the money that would come with it could easily go someplace else. I think it's short-sighted. I think it's kind of pointless, to delay. I don't know what the motivation could possibly be beyond it.
They like Star Trek better, maybe.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Playing favorites with Star Trek?
Could be.
What do you know about this Oscar bag controversy? The Academy is very upset
goodie
about
bag.
A goodie bag that costs, I guess, like $200,000
or
something.
Yeah, almost $250,000 for the swag bag that the nominees get. All the nominees get this swag bag, and it's filled with, you know, trips and all kinds of things, huge dollar value of it, but the Academy is upset that a couple of items in the swag are a little bit R-rated.
Oh.
There are some devices in there that say could be used for...
Pleasure?
One's pleasure.
Oh, really?
If you're by yourself, one's pleasure.
You don't have to be by yourself.
Well, that's true. I don't know why you'd need the device if somebody else was there.
True.
But... I suppose that could be the case.
Why
but
are they putting that in there?
The Academy doesn't like that they are being associated with some of these R-rated products that have been put in the bag.
Is there plastic surgery coupons or something, too?
There have
been in the past, too,
really?
There are.
If not plastic surgery per se, certainly things like Botox, chemical peeling.
Can you snag me a swag bag?
All those kinds of things.
They must have extras.
And some battery and a package of Duracell.
Right, right.
Triple A.
That's not too much.
Doubles
to ask.
Doubles are too big.
What?
I don't know.
I don't know what that means, Bill.
So how will this be resolved? Is Lucasfilm upset about this? I would be.
I think Friends of the Park are behind the
sure
swag
they
bag
are.
Thing also.
Those guys are behind everything.
It's the Oscar people that are actually behind this. They do not like. They're very protective of their name and their trademark. and they don't like that vibrators are being included as part of the deal.
Right.
I shouldn't share this thought bubble with you, but I am.
Go ahead.
What if the item was shaped like Oscar?
Oh, interesting.
Good idea.
That's very interesting. I'm sure that wouldn't upset them at all. Wow.
There was a controversy this week because some toys were being sold, I think at Target. Star Wars items were being sold at Target that resembled a little too much. That they were phallic looking.
Really?
They were very phallic looking, and the people were complaining. You know, you take your kids down the hill, and all of a sudden, Darth Vader, stop it.
Wow. What happened?
Were these action figures?
They weren't action figures. I want to say it might have been like bottles of shampoo or something.
Dean, it brings a whole new meaning to the name Han Solo, doesn't it, really, when you stop and think about it?
Oh, gosh.
I had to.
Now the museum's never going to come.
No, I'm sorry, Friends of the Park. I didn't mean to.
That joke was worth it, though. If we lost the museum because of that joke, it's worth it.
And then the Academy Awards themselves, the statues were always made here in Chicago, but this is the end of the line for that.
Yeah, I don't understand why they switched it to some metal foundry place in, I think it's in California now, or New York or someplace. But yeah, for years it was made at the R.S. Owen Company on the Northwest Side. I went there many times and have done stories on them and watched them make statues. It's cool out of the mold. You know, they put the metal inside the mold and they make the statue that we recognize. And then they dip it in, I think it's 24 karat gold. And it's pretty cool to watch the whole thing. And it's been pretty cool that for nearly 30 years, it's been done in a very unassuming, very neighborhoody part of the Northwest Side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to be the case anymore.
No, that's too bad.
Those damn Hollywood type. Those damn Friends of the Park.
Oh, they ruin everything.
They're behind everything. Everything.
No friends of mine, I'm telling you.
Nope, they shouldn't be. And then one more quick thing, and then we'll talk about this week's movies. But I saw a trailer online, and I thought this was a movie that was going to be in theaters, but it turns out it's going straight to either Hulu or Netflix or somebody, and that's Pee-wee's Big Holiday. Have you seen that?
It's Netflix.
Is it Netflix?
It's Netflix. Yeah. I can't wait. Joe Manganiello is in it. I know that.
I love Pee-wee.
I'm looking forward to it. I've been surprised at how many, when I've talked about how much I'm looking forward to this, people have been looking at me and, you know, reacting like, why do you like that big pervert? It's like, because it's funny. It's funny.
He's a funny big pervert.
I'm not interested in the sex lives of any of these people who I'm watching on on the screens.
Really? That's a good point.
I just like, I've always liked Pee-wee's Playhouse. I was a big fan of the TV show.
If you have them on DVD, you can come over and watch with
us. I have them.
Yeah, I know. I love it.
I have them, and I'm just a little ashamed to say that I have a Pee-wee doll that you pull the ring, and it's Pee-wee's voice talking. That's pretty much all it does now.
It's slow.
I pulled that ring a few more times than I probably a grown man should have.
You need a swag bag for the Oscars.
I need a swag bag for that.
That's what you need.
That's right.
It comes out next month, doesn't it? Is that in March?
You know what? I'll check during the break.
Right.
Because I wanted to say I thought it was sometime this month, but honestly, I'm not sure. But
I love Netflix and Hulu.
It looks so funny. It really does.
I don't need my local cable provider anymore. If I can figure out a way to get the Blackhawks, I would drop them tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep. All right, we'll do this. We'll take ouch is right, Dean.
Somehow Friend of the Parks is involved in that.
I'm an enemy of everyone today.
Not sure.
How does that happen? We're going to take a quick break. We'll talk more to Dean Richards and find out what's coming out in theaters this weekend. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Dean Richards is on the line. We're talking movies, as we do every Thursday with Dean. Dean, the Academy Awards are a week from Sunday, and next week... Yeah. The Academy Awards are a week from Sunday. It's true.
Start watching some.
You gotta get. You gotta catch up.
That Pee-wee movie, by the way, is March 18th.
Oh, it is. Okay, so about a month away. Yep. All right, that's exciting.
A lot
I can't
of people
wait to
still
see.
Be drunk because March 17th is the day before.
Right.
Oh, true.
That's true. It's a good back to back.
Right.
All right. So next week we will certainly break down what we think will win the Academy Awards and what should win.
Yep.
But really quickly, is any one particular movie picking up momentum in terms of who Hollywood thinks is going to win the statue?
I think Spotlight is picking up momentum. It's been a critical favorite all along, but a lot of people didn't think that it was going to go all the way, but it seems to be picking up some momentum now for the Best Picture honor. Right at the moment, all the momentum seems to be with Revenant. That just, you know, in looking at some kind of the politics and appearances and publicity efforts that are going on, Revenant seems to be slowing down a little bit as Best Picture. I think Leo is still a lock to win Best Actor. But we'll see.
Do you think if Revenant wins South Carolina on Saturday that it's a shoo-in for the Academy Award?
It depends on what the Pope thinks. I wait to hear from the Pope on all things.
How about the Pope disciplining Donald Trump? Did you think you'd ever see that?
That's what made me think of that. I just heard the Pope scolding Donald Trump.
Right, it's come to that.
I love this Pope. Yeah. I mean, really.
It's beautiful.
This presidential race could not be more entertaining. I mean, it's a shame that the country's going to hell in a handbasket, but it sure is entertaining.
It is. It really is. All right, let's talk about this movie, Race. What an important film this is. I hope it's a good one. It looks fantastic. What did you think of Race?
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it. It's the story of the Jesse Owens story, basically, who is not born in Chicago but lived in Chicago after his athletic career, and is was buried in Chicago after his death, which is always preferable.
Mm-hmm.
So his family lives here; his daughters still live in Chicago. So there's a very strong Chicago connection to this whole story. But it's a story that goes back into the 1930s. The era preceding the 1936 Berlin Olympics, when Jesse Owens was fighting just to go to college to be a competitive runner in track and field at a college, given race relations at the time and how difficult it was for African-American people to even get into institutes of higher learning. It's that struggle. What really, I think, sends this film over the top is its history on the 1936 Berlin Olympics, that Adolf Hitler had, you know, designs and delusions that this Olympic Games would be a demonstration of Aryan supremacy. And really, it was Jesse Owens, one competition after another, that shot that down. Despite Hitler's trying to keep black people and Jewish people out of the games themselves. It's a very interesting telling of a very sad part of history, that this was going on and what it led to with World War II. But it shows the tenacity of one man who was dedicated. All he wanted to do was run. He didn't want to do anything, make political points. He just wanted to do the talent, the ability that God gave him, and that's what this movie is about. It's pure, it's clean. I've heard some other critics talking negatively about the film, that it wasn't militant enough, that, you know, despite the terrible way that Jesse Owens and other black athletes in this film are treated, the depiction of it, that it wasn't militant enough, there wasn't enough fighting back. And I think that's those critics, that reflecting their own reaction would have been to something like that. We have to remember that this is 1936.
Sure.
There wasn't a lot of militancy going on back then.
Right.
You know, it's a little like the Jackie Robinson story, that film that came out a couple of years ago called 42.
Yeah.
Also, you know, had a similar reserved tone, despite the terrible treatment that Jackie Robinson was getting at the time. Very much the same kind of treatment from his own teammates, from, people who are supposed to have been on his side who did not because he's black. Pointed focus on winning the gold medals and winning the prize. So the young actor who stars in this is named Stephon James. I think he did a great job. I was also very impressed by Jason Sudeikis' role in this film, who plays his coach in the film. I've never seen Jason Sudeikis in a dramatic role before.
No, I can't think of one either.
I've only seen him, you know, Saturday Night Live and in
dancing in the tracksuit.
Yeah.
He's a goof.
Yeah, and some of the comedic films that he's been in. But he plays Coach Larry Snyder in this film, who was a former athlete himself, who you know, coaches Jesse Owens to win all the gold medals that he did. His performance was good. I don't know the real Larry Sanders story. Jason Sudeikis doesn't seem that much older than Stephon James in this. So that was the only thing that I felt a little uncomfortable with. You know, I guess I wanted the coach to be older,
oh, maybe
more grizzly. But, you know, again, maybe that's just my perceptions. Maybe this is exactly, you know, how they were in real life. It wasn't enough to spoil how I felt about the film, though. I still enjoyed it greatly. At this time of year, especially when films, you know, new films that are coming out are generally kind of nothing special.
Yeah.
This is a really nice, uplifting film, you know, a true story, a little bit of history. I really enjoyed it. I gave it a Dean's List B.
You know, you made a great comparison there to Jackie Robinson's story, because these two stories are so important, not just to the world of sports, but to the world of race relations. And I think sometimes, as time goes on, they get lost. Maybe a kid today might not know the story of Jesse Owens or right. Jackie Robinson, and through film, even though it's a glorified version of what happened, it creates an awareness for those very important events.
Yeah, in addition to a story of race relations, I think even if you didn't look at the film that way, and I don't know how you can't, but if you only look at this film as an athlete trying to overcome not only the physical obstacles of his sport, but so much more that was going on in his life. I don't know how you can't look at this story and apply it to anything that's going on in your own life and the obstacles, whatever the obstacles you have in your own life, and look at this and go, you know, if I really put myself to this, I can overcome whatever obstacles come my way.
Sure.
So I think, you know, as I've said over and over about these sports films, they have to be more than just about the sport itself, and I think this one does that. So, you know, I think it's a really good film. I enjoyed it. There's a couple of other films I haven't seen this week, but I'm going to try to catch up with them tonight and tomorrow so I can talk about them on the air the next couple of days. But there's a new horror film that's called The Witch.
Uh-huh.
That's opening tomorrow as well. I don't know anything about it except that it's set in 1600s North England. There's a family that lives on a farm in a very desolate part of the woods, and
that's always how it begins.
That's how it begins,
you know.
Yep. And you know, and there's witches on the loose is all I know. And I've read some quotes from some people saying that it's one of the scariest horror films that they've ever seen. So,
Dean, is it true that the Friends of the Park did not want that family to build the house so close to the water? Is that true?
Friends of the Farm.
Friends of the Farm? Is that who's behind
right.
this?
That's right. It was a group of warlocks, actually, that had started this
oh,
group.
No.
They were very upset that the witches, that's the interesting protest. It's not about the house.
Never is.
It's that the witches had full control over haunting this house.
Oh, that's crazy.
And that, you know, other supernatural groups wanted the opportunity also to have a little piece of the action, if
yep.
you will.
Yep.
So The Witch is going to be opening. There's also a film called Risen that I haven't seen yet. It's about a Roman soldier who has been charged with investigating the rumors of the resurrection of Christ.
Oh, wow.
So something a little pre-Easter kind of offering that's coming up. And interestingly, stars Joseph Fiennes, who sings Billie Jean in the movie.
Oh, he does in this
for
one?
For some reason.
Who, that
I
seems
not,
out of place.
I don't remember that in Sunday school.
No, that seems way out of place.
Can't wait to watch it while eating peeps for Easter.
Right. That's your best bet.
Have you ever put a peep in a microwave?
Oh, yeah.
By the way? Oh, ginormous.
Yeah. Highly recommend that for activities for the
What's
kids.
What's your rating on that?
the peeps? Yes. A+.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
That's the best.
Complete waste of food and possible injury? A+.
You can't miss.
But Dean, do it in a work microwave, because if it, you know, it could explode and then you get a big mess in your microwave.
Yeah, true. Nobody wants
and
that.
And wear safety glasses just because they're so damn attractive.
Yes, they are. Dean, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Too,
we will
guys.
Talk to you next week.
See
That's
ya.
Dean Richards, everybody. We'll take a quick break. Find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch coming up next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. I don't know who that is screaming, but I like it.
Rock Lobster B-52.
Oh, is that what that is?
You know, I want to start a new segment.
I don't hear the, I'm not used to the.
It's kind of like the Beretta song. Keep your eye on the sparrow.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
I would like to present a new idea that I would like to do where we should play, like, Name That Tune. Because you are better than I expect you to be.
Thanks.
But I have spent years playing records and So I know like the beginnings of almost every song imaginable.
I can imagine. Sure, of course.
So we should figure that out. You can represent a listener and I will represent a listener and we would play Name That Tune. And
what would the era of music be?
It could be anything.
It could be any time from recorded music on. You just name it. We would play it and we'll see who knows more.
Yeah, or we could, you know, streamline it and make it 80s day.
Okay.
Or disco day, which you will win.
I probably would win that one.
Hall & Oates Day, you'll win.
Hall & Oates Day belongs to me.
You're a rich girl.
Yeah, I would do well on Hall & Oates Day. But then you would have plenty of them that I would just go, Janis Joplin. I know that Janis Joplin sang a lot and didn't wash her hair very often. She was not much with the shampoo and the conditioner, that Janis Joplin.
She still got some.
Yeah, yeah. She did all right for herself, didn't she?
She did.
All right.
So let's do that someday. And it doesn't
that.
Have to be regular. It can just be when we're in the mood.
All right.
But I thought that would be fun. And then we could give away prizes. You represent a listener. I'll represent a listener.
Someone would win big. All right. Let's do.
Usually I'm, the one I'm representing.
I would actually bet on you for this.
I'm telling you, though, you surprise me. You pull it out sometimes where I can't. How did you know that?
For some reason, I'm good with stuff that it wasn't like on the A side of a 45. I'm good with the flip side. Like the other day with that John Denver song that you had never heard of. I knew that
Grandma's
song.
Feather Duster.
Grandma's Feather Bed. I knew that song. And I don't know why. You know how there's stuff. Basically, our brains are like computer disks. And you go, why am I using up that much space with that?
Because you're RAM tough.
I guess because I'm RAM tough. I guess it's because
you must have so much RAM going on. Your gigabytes. Whoo!
Everybody knows some things that you really, you have no business retaining that
you
knowledge.
You know more things, if as you
yeah,
call
but it,
them.
But it should be channeled towards more important things, shouldn't it?
No, this is what you do for a living now.
Yeah, I guess.
You don't have to wear a suit and
right.
carry a briefcase,
right.
although that would make me giggle.
Yeah, one day I'll wear a suit and a briefcase just to see what happens. That'd be excellent. We're very excited, by the way. Later on in the show, at 1:35, some of the members of the world champion 1985 Chicago Bears will be joining us, most notably Richard Dent and William Perry. And I've never met either of those two guys, and I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun.
No, and I've met, you know, over the years, when I worked at the Loop radio station, Tom Thayer and Keith Van Horn
sure.
had an overnight show on after me and Tony Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
And, basically, all they did was bring coolers and make sure their beer was cold.
That was the show.
Play some tunes. Although there was one night, I believe, that the Stones were in town.
Yeah.
And Keith Van Horn had some connections, and Mick Jagger just called them on the air.
That's fantastic.
I know. It was really cool.
That's great.
So, you know.
I mean, we had Robbie Benson on one day, so I know what that feels like to have somebody.
What year did he play for the Bears?
I don't remember him playing for the Bears. I know he probably watched a couple of the games. They were the World Championship Bears, so he probably watched one.
Our Bears are not here yet, are they, Kevin? Because I have a question I have to ask you.
Yeah.
You're not a Bears fan anymore at all.
You know...
Is this going to make you uncomfortable?
No, because they represent the 85 Bears
the glory
when
days.
I was a huge Bears fan. But Bears management has decided now that winning isn't that important. They don't mind the losing. So,
they,
what?
You really...
They don't. They don't value winning. They just said to their best guy,
"That's true.
Thank you. We don't need
Matt
your
Forte.
Services anymore, Matt. We appreciate the 8 years you put in, but we're going in a different direction, and that direction is an arrow pointing downward, an arrow pointing south." So is he
going to the Pack?
There's a lot of talk that he may become a Green Bay Packer. Nothing's cemented yet, but we may see Matt
no
Forte.
Way.
That's heartbreaking.
He won't do it.
It's happened with other Bears. Jim McMahon was a Packer after he was a Bear.
Just for a short while.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he didn't love it. He just, you
he
know.
He just did it grudgingly?
Yeah. Begrudgingly.
Yeah.
Or grudgingly.
Well,
I don't know which it is.
Well, at some point, I'll probably ask either Richard Dent or William Perry, what's wrong with the Bears now? Why can't they do what they used
WTF,
to do?
WTF,
Yeah,
guys.
I'll say that. I'll say Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Is that when I leave the studio?
Yeah.
Because they will pummel you?
Yes. There will be. They've asked that we set aside a few minutes for pummeling. And I said, sure, you guys, if you want to pummel me, fine. I'll put a pinata outfit on if you want, whatever you want. Now, I want to bring something up, but I don't want this to be uncomfortable at all. You and I were speaking after the show about something going on in your family, and if you don't mind talking about it, I would love to discuss this with the class. Are you okay with that?
Sure. Right. I'm a proud mama.
All right. One of the boys is involved in a production at the school. He is doing a play.
Michael
is doing...
He was just on the show when Eric Burdon was here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to Bertrand about this, too, because I believe your kids were in plays. Is that true, Steve Bertrand, who's enjoying a little lunch right now and listening to... who's on opposite us? Is it Matt Spiegel?
I think he is listening to them, yes. Yes.
Okay. I think his kids have been in a couple of plays.
Everybody's
we were talking about
kid
this.
Has been in a play or two, right?
Oh, no, that's... but my kids have been in really good plays.
Okay,
oh,
see, this right, is where it started during the crosstalk off the air.
Mm-hmm.
My son, Michael, really wants to be, he's a musician. I'll just say that. He was in a play in seventh grade. He was Conrad Birdie in Bye Bye Birdie. When he auditioned for that and then subsequently went on to perform, my husband and I sat in the audience and said, did you know he could sing?
Mm-hmm.
No, did you? No. Mm-hmm. Then he was in South Pacific, and his high school years have, he's a junior. He's mainly been focusing on music and the radio station there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, just try out for a play.
Mm-hmm.
Just come on.
Makes you better rounded, all well-rounded.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, sure.
Have you ever been in a play?
Been in several plays.
See, it really helps. I tell him most of the people on SNL have been in plays.
Absolutely.
So Legally Blonde was coming. Being a musician, he played guitar for a production of that at a small town theater. So he's like, I kind of know the songs I'm going to try out. So he's not a lead, but he has some lines. He has one song, and I guess he's dancing up a storm.
Yeah.
And they have been rehearsing. I guess the difference between junior high and high school, the rehearsals are unbelievable. Every single night mm-hmm. after school till 7 or 8 o'clock.
Sure.
This has been going on.
They want the show to be the best it could possibly be. So
unlike
they put
the Bears?
Yes. They took a look at the Bears playbook and said, well, let's do the opposite. Let's see what we can do to be entertaining and make everybody feel good about themselves. All right. But now here's
tonight's
where the rub.
The night.
It opens tonight. Tonight is opening night.
And I bought two tickets for every production. Tuesday, Friday, which the family's going with me.
Right.
And then two shows on Sunday.
So you will see, by the time this is over, you will have seen every production...
Four times.
...of the show Legally Blonde. You will have seen...
LT High School, go ahead. Tickets, $10.
Starting tonight and
ending
$5 next
week. $5 for seniors or kids or Bill.
And I said to you, and I think this is a fair question, does he want you to be at all four? Does Michael want you to be at every production? And you said...
I don't think he has a choice, and he never really said anything. I told him I was going all four.
No
reaction. All he said to me was, that's a lot of money, Mom.
Yeah.
Wait, he can't sneak you in somewhere?
Oh,
he
doesn't
know the school well enough?
No.
What Kevin?
Are you the loud mom? Are you, like, cheering the loudest?
Typically, yes. I've learned now that my kids have some kind of reaction to my big, foul mouth.
Yeah.
I have learned to, no, I'm not going to say
anything.
You don't
stage talk? Don't go in there. I wouldn't go in there.
What is it, the Def Comedy Jam?
I've never seen the stage production of Legally Blonde. I don't know what goes on.
Believe it or not, back in my junior high days, I wrestled. And
in a play?
No, not in a play. I was a wrestler.
With your friend Speedo?
There was no wrestling involved there. But
Speedos
anyway.
Can't wrestle.
Yeah, she doesn't know what she's talking about. But yeah, my mom.
Oh, really? Look at a wrestling outfit and tell me that.
It's okay. Called a singlet, Wendy.
Hey, whatever.
No.
Doublet. A singlet.
But your mom would come to every
she would
match.
Come, yeah, and when you're in the moment and you're actually doing it, you like tune everything out. But the only thing I could hear was my mom just screaming louder than anyone there.
Don't touch him there.
Now, I will say, Kevin, that at a sporting event, which my kids did play some sort of sports earlier, I was that mom.
You were.
Oh, God.
You would yell and scream and, yeah.
It was just funny because she didn't really know, like, wrestling terms, so it would be things like, push him, shove him,
oh.
Things like that.
What a violent lady your mom turned out to be. I didn't expect that from her.
But you didn't mind. I mean, don't you want your mom there?
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice.
Doesn't everyone
except when
wanna...
I lost. That was weird.
Yeah, but doesn't everyone want to please their parents?
Once. Like, when I was in plays, I would say to my parents, "We got two shows this weekend, we got two shows next weekend. Which one do you want to go to? Do you want to go to this one?
You were
a go to this
bossy
one?
Little kid, even when you were couldn't talk.
But let's say, hypothetically, he doesn't want you at all four productions.
Then he would have said, Mom, you're really going to all of them?
He I didn't think, say any version of that at
no,
all?
And then he looked at Jim and said, how come you're not going to all of them?
Oh.
He didn't say that. He didn't say that. But there was no question.
But your answer yesterday when I said to you, does he want you at all? You said he doesn't have a choice in this. This
yeah,
is to say... I'm in charge of this show. If I want to go to all four, if I want to add a fifth show, they're going to add a fifth show. I want to see him perform a lot. I think it should be up to him. I think he should say...
How does he know which night is going to be best? What if something stellar happens? And then I'm explaining this to Dylan, his younger brother, because I said, you have to go. Pick a night and you're going. I don't want to go. You have to go. It's your brother. And then he says to me, why are you going every night? And I said, because what if I miss something? What if something spectacular happens? And Dylan says, what? If he falls on stage?
What is the spectacular thing that could possibly happen? Give me an example of something spectacular that could happen.
I just, you know what? I like to see Michael perform.
Right. You don't think it's overkill at all to go to all four shows? You don't think that's even a little bit overkill?
How come this is turning on me like I'm doing something wrong?
Overkiller.
You're not doing anything wrong, but I think if I were you, and I have been you in this situation, my kids have been in stuff, and I always say to them, my wife and I say, how many nights do you want us there? Which shows do you want us to see? I would never just go, I bought a block of tickets, I'm seeing every show, no, it's up
can
to
I,
me.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
He wants me to go.
He Here's definitely wants know. You at every show.
You know, you said this before when I would sing with him. He plays guitar. I sing. You're like, yeah, what kid, high school kid likes to perform with his mom.
I did. I stand by that. Like if I was cool enough to be in a band in high school and my mom goes,
have a band.
Hey, I just bought a Fender. I'm going to play with you. I'd go, oh, I don't think so. Mom, you can't be in my band.
Just in the basement, just singing and stuff. And then there was a recital and he played guitar.
Shirley Partridge did it.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh
All right,
God.
That's the example.
Maybe I have a better relationship with my children than you two have because
why are you turning this on me? I'm supporting
because
you.
Because you said you called me an overkiller. That's why I'm turning it on you.
But Steve, that's a term of endearment with Steve.
Exactly. All right,
let me explain something to you.
All right, go on.
We have to take a break, and then I am coming back, and I am explaining something to you that if he didn't want me to go, he had complete control over the situation. I will explain next.
All right. That's coming up
Overkiller.
Next. It's a term of endearment. Yeah, they have that now. 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. Is Wendy an overkiller? You decide. It's Bill
and
Wendy WGN.
I'm just going to be a killer. I'm being called an overkiller. My son is in a production of Legally Blonde at his high school.
I said that for fun. I would be at every performance.
Oh, now you're just back.
Steve is I saw Steve bought tickets to all four performances.
Well, it's funny because I did tell Steve that I had an extra ticket. I bought two tickets for every show, and my best friend since sixth grade, Sue, I said, hey, if you're not doing anything tonight, busy.
Yeah.
And then I said, Steve, you want to come with me? No, I don't want to see your
Sue
kid.
Sue called me and offered to help me move.
What does that tell us?
I know nobody else wants to see anybody else's kid, so I'm going by myself. Here's how I know Michael doesn't care if
how?
I go to all of them.
How do you know?
There was a form that the cast got, and it said, fill out the number of tickets for each show.
Right.
And I put two for all of them, and then on Friday night, I put five.
Yeah.
And I said, is it too late for this? He goes, I don't know. I was supposed to give this to you last week. And I said, well, if you can get these tickets, will you get them for me? He texted me to say, taken care of, Mom. I got all your tickets.
Uh-huh.
So he could have very easily said, I didn't turn it in time.
It's just that yesterday when I brought this up and I said, are you sure he wants you to come to all four performances? You didn't tell me what you told me there. You said, well, he doesn't have any choice in this, as if to say, if I want to see him in every show, I'm going. He can't. But shouldn't it be up to him? Maybe he gets nervous knowing you're watching him. He doesn't, but what if there's plenty of kids who get
more nervous when I'm there or Jim's there.
All right, so knowing that alone, like if one of my...
He could have said something.
But if one of my daughters said, I got this show, Dad, and I got to be honest, I'd love for you to see it, but I get nervous knowing you're there, I would go, then I will.
But he didn't say that. I said, I'm going to every show. And he said, his honest reaction right then, he goes, that's a lot of money because it's $10 a ticket.
I think that was a polite way of saying he doesn't want you there.
You don't understand my family. There is no polite in my family. We say what we mean. Terry, what's wrong with these people?
Not too much.
Am I an overkiller?
You are not an overkiller. And, you know, when you mentioned about something being spectacular and you might have missed it, my daughter in eighth grade was Jasmine in their production of Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, I went to every single show. And on one of the shows, when they're riding the magic carpet, which they rigged up with a golf cart that Aladdin kind of drove across the stage.
The magic golf cart.
Golf cart. It was very cool. And before they finished their lines before they arrived at the castle that they were supposed to be at. And she actually ad-libbed something. In eighth grade, she doesn't have a whole lot of theater experience. And it was the coolest moment for the whole time. And if I hadn't had tickets to that show, I would have missed it. And that's what people were talking about. All the other parents just were...
Do you remember what the line was, Terry?
This is where he's going to shame you for not remembering it, Terry.
No,
I will remember. I will remember. They were going, you know, they were on the magic carpet, and they were done. And she, I think she said, probably very un-Jasmine, like, this is really cool. It looks really cool up here. With something to that effect.
Phil's laughing at you, Terry. Yes, you are.
I would, but no, like you, I would not have wanted to miss that.
No, but to a mom, that is deviating from the script and being a standout, and that's why we go to watch our kids.
That's right. And so don't miss a moment of it. Go to every show. I can understand if they don't want you to be there. I always get much more nervous when people are in the crowd that I know, but. As long as he sounds like he's cool with it, and you should do it.
Well, thank you very much, Terry.
All right. Hypothetically, let's say he says to you, you know, Mom, you saw the first two. I'd prefer you sat one or two of them out.
That'll be Sunday, and I may be sick of it by then. But I bought the tickets, and right now...
Say that to him.
Sitting in the chair, you'll be mouthing the words.
Right.
Can I tell you something? What? He played guitar... for the production of the Western Springs Theater of Legally Blonde, and I went to both the shows. He wasn't even in it. I just went there and I'm showing my support.
I would be there too, Wendy.
Yep.
Now you say that.
No, all along, Overkiller, I would be there, but I would be the Overkiller too.
Does he have a golf cart scene in the show? Because I might come to
see
that.
That's really cool.
So my son was in Studs Terkel working last
spring. Was he?
Yeah.
Nice.
How many times did you go?
I think I did go twice, but he...
Weren't you out of town one time?
That was when he was in Taming of the Shrew this fall, last fall.
Overkiller, you're no killer.
I'm on your team.
He was Petruchio. He was magnificent. I went to see it with Steve.
Wasn't he? Thank you
he
very much.
He was really good.
I was happy to buy the tickets for you. but in working, he had to toss the F-bomb.
Oh.
Excellent.
That's nice.
Was it in the script?
No, it wasn't.
I hope Michael does that tonight. He won't be in the rest of the plays, and then I don't have to worry about it. Madeline, we have 2 seconds. There's nothing wrong with me going, is there?
There sure isn't. My niece goes to her son's performances everywhere, even out of town.
There you go.
Think about that, Madeline. If he's in the touring company of Legally Blonde, you'll be in Seattle for a few days. You'll be in Tacoma, Washington for a few days.
Then I'm going to try and tell him to, you know, get me into the theater company. I want a part. Can you get me in?
That's where it's heading, isn't it?
Somebody called me a helicopter parent. Why? Because I'm sitting there to enjoy him? How is that being a helicopter?
I think it's because you have a rotor on your head.
Okay, I think that's why. Thank you for the support, everyone, and not Bill and Bertrand.
All right, we'll take a quick break.
Not cool.
And then, you know who's coming in? Richard Dent and William Perry and their moms are coming in.
I am going to kick you as hard as I can in the shin. You know how much that hurts?
Don't do that. All right, a break. Steve with the news, and his mom's going to help him out. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
I'm not hitting the button. I'll show you. Go ahead, laugh, clown. I'm not hitting the button. See, what do you do now? He backs away from the microphone.
Bill, I'm going to call my mom.
Boy, you got a pair.
I'm going to call my mom, see if she'll hit the button.
See if she'll hit the button. We just have to do the Super Bowl shuffle. The sack man's coming. I'm your man, Dent. There's a quarterback, so he's going to get bent. We stop the run. We stop the pass. I like to jump guys.
Oh my God, that went platinum, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The Super Bowl Shuffle.
Many have called it, Wendy, the greatest song ever written.
The worst dancing ever by Steve Fuller.
The worst dancing by Steve Fuller of all time. And yet it went on to sell over 3.5 billion copies somehow. We have greatness in the studio. There's no question about that. Lee Steinberg, Super Agent Lee Steinberg, is with us right now, as well as two members of the 1985 World Championship Chicago Bears, Richard Dent and William the Refrigerator Perry. And great to see all of you. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure.
Richard Dent, are going to get roasted. Are you ready for this? It's going to get ugly, isn't it?
It is sunny outside right now, I tell you. I'm going to have to enjoy the sun because it's going to come raining down.
Oh, your teammates are not going to go easy on you.
Who would say something bad about you? That's impossible.
It's a roast.
Yeah, it's a roast.
It's going to end early because no one's going to say anything bad about Richard Dent.
But yet, I who is that singing like that?
It's somebody's phone.
Who is that? Oh, that's
is that
me.
Your phone?
Well, that's my phone.
It's McMichael calling you right
it's
now.
It's McMichael.
I knew
He's got
it.
A joke.
I knew it.
He can't wait. He just can't wait. But yeah, it's going to be fun. You know, it's a pleasure to let your friends kind of beat you up, but for a good cause at the end of the day, you know.
And the cause is?
The Better Boys Foundation. That's what you've been around in Chicago here for over 50 years, and, you know, in the North Lawndale area, that, you know, what they've been doing for the city of Chicago and what they did for the NFL for many years. You know, the little Oscar trophy that I used to love to look forward to get sometimes, and that was awesome. So, but, you know, it's nice to bring my buddy in town here.
Fridge.
Come and beat me up. Somebody I relied on 24/7. We relied on each other. We used to dictate over on the right-hand side. And we used to send everybody's going to the left. You know, we used to call that side of the field 294. And people run over there all day and don't pay no tolls. You know? So between Hampton and Steve, they got all the action. We had to run the action down. Right, William?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we in great times.
William, were you ready for, I don't know how anyone could be ready for what happened to you. You were a guy, you came up through the ranks, then all of a sudden you were a superstar in record time. Were you ready for that?
Well, you know, you went through, you know, your college and you know, you had fun, and then you get up in the big league and you never know what, you know, to expect. And then all of a sudden everything just went you know, haywire, and then I just enjoyed it and had fun with it, and I still do. So, you know, it was great, and you know, had fun, you know, fun with the whole situation.
Yeah. And you know, you say have fun, and that was the difference between then and now. You guys played very hard, but you guys had fun with each other.
Well, we had fun. William, you know, he was a defensive ball player that decided to put on offense to punish the other defensive team.
Yep.
And yet he went to stardom, you know. And you had jealousy on the team, but at the end of the day, William took it as, you know, very well, never acted like he was someone special than anybody else. But yet, you know, we really enjoyed, you know, playing together and being the best that we can be.
William, to this day, if I hear the words open the door, what's going to follow? The light goes on. That's from one of your commercials. If I hear the phrase "open the door,"
open the door, the light goes on. You remember?
You know, you just keep on going and stuff. You know, you don't sit there. You know, you worry about anything. You just have fun with it, and you move on to the next. And
right.
And you know, like this is just like I said, you enjoy yourself and don't worry about the rest.
So true.
We all look forward to meeting the 85 Bears. I mean, you guys are legendary. What the hell is going on right now with the Bears?
I don't know.
They're losing.
That's it. Plain and simple. William figured it out. They're losing. They need to do it differently.
I mean,
they need Ditka back.
You can't say too much about it. You know, they got to, you know, pull together, put themselves together, and then, start, you know, playing as one.
Yep.
You know, just like we did. Yeah, you play as one, and one, take care of the other, and then everything works out.
Let's hope so.
We got a little ways to go, but, you know, they have done so bad in draft, it really kind of hurt.
Yeah.
It's hard. Not many people, you know, giving out free agents, you know, people keeping those guys. But when you don't draft well, then, you know, if you look at the 83 class, I think one of the best drafts in the National Football
Without
League.
Question.
Right after that, you know, we got Kevin Butler. We got William. Everybody that got drafted from the next 4 or 5 years came in.
It paid
and
off.
Made a big contribution to the team.
And
that's how it takes.
If you wouldn't mind, a question for Lee Steinberg. Lee, you've been an agent for more than 4 decades. You've seen sports teams come and go. What did this team have that made them so magical, do you think?
Well, they had pizzazz. They were probably the most exciting team with the most characters and personalities I've ever seen. And when you came into Chicago, I've never seen a city so transfixed as this city was. There were more players who had their own radio shows or television shows than in most of the cities across the country combined. I'm just here as a representative of all the quarterbacks who were dismembered and put into the hospital by these two gentlemen. Now, at one point, I'm representing half the starting quarterbacks in the NFL, and they were dented and redented, and they were refrigerated so badly that on Saturday, I get the chance to speak for all the downtrodden quarterbacks in the league that these two gentlemen put into cardiac arrest. And
they're
also,
all in the old folks' homes.
Yes,
now.
They are in the old folks' homes. And the only thing that would bring me to Chicago and leave Los Angeles, which had about 80-degree weather, is the Better Boys Foundation, which every time I come to this city, I'm amazed the things they do to try to help disadvantaged folks and bring hope back into people's lives. It's an amazing cause. Richard is one of the great players to ever play, but he's also one of the great humanitarians. And people should come out and support the cause. It's going to be fun. This classic group of clowns will be unbelievable to hear, and it's going to be an event that you just can't miss.
Open bar, you know, you got Chicago 5 or 6, 7, what I call them.
Yeah,
I don't
how many
know what they are.
So you got Steve McMichael, you've got Dan Hampton.
Yeah, you got Otis Wilson. Yeah,
Mama's Boy Otis.
Yeah, we're going to have a couple other guys. Eric Dickerson will come in. He'll be crying about the old playoff game. And Marcus Allen will be crying about that he couldn't go out and block when we knocked out, you know, two of their quarterbacks after they won the Super Bowl.
So, hey, Marcus Allen was just mentioned in the O.J. movie.
Yeah.
Did you see that the other? Are you watching the O.J., the People versus O.J. Simpson?
I peeped in and out. But, yeah, that's a USC guy, so, you know.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's that USC
I saw
thing.
Cuba Gooding on Radio Row, and we reminisced about our Jerry Maguire days.
Oh, you did? Yeah. For people who don't know, the character of Jerry Maguire is based on you, isn't it, Lee? It is.
Well, Cameron Crowe and I spent a lot of time, and so we're out on Radio Row, and Cuba ran across the way, and he shouted, "Show me the money."
It still works, doesn't it? All right, we got to take a quick break. Okay. More with Lee Steinberg, with Richard Dent, with William, the Refrigerator Perry. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, it's Bill and Wendy.
And the whole roast of Richard Dent held this Saturday, February 20th. We got to get this out. This Saturday, Revel Fulton Market. If you want info, you can go to WGNradio.com. Or you can go to bbffamilieservices.org. We'll get you caught up with who's going to be there, what's what.
Come on out.
Yeah, it's going to be. Did you say open bar, by the way?
Open bar.
All right. Well, got
tickets
me open.
Sold. We just sold some tickets.
There you go. So you know how that's going to go.
It'll work. More after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Bear down, Chicago Bears, the 85 Bears, the only Bears that matter in our book. Hey,
the only Bears that matter. Is there any regret? You guys lost one game to the Miami Dolphins. Do you ever look back at it and say, oh, if only we had won, or does it just not matter?
Nah, you know, they actually should have showed up. You know, they was the best team in the AFC that couldn't make it. You know, we really were looking forward to it. I remember Jimbo Covert telling, hey, man, take it easy on Danny. I said, okay. But I was at the Pro Bowl. But I said, if he showed up for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, then it's a different story.
You know, tonsils. I'm going to have to get those tonsils out.
Lee Steinberg is here, Super Agent Lee Steinberg, along with, as Wendy said, Richard Dent and William Perry. Yeah. William, I'm sure you're aware of this, but there was a time here in Chicago where on people's refrigerators, on the left door was a big number 7, and on the right door was a big number 2. That was a tribute, appliance-wise, to you, sir.
Well, you know, that was wonderful, and everybody had took to me, and you know, they was enjoying themselves, and I was enjoying myself, you know, with the whole situation, and it was fun.
Sure,
it was fun days and stuff, and right now, today I'm still laughing about it, and having good times with it. For me, you look back on times, and you see you see yourself, you know, big as I was running the football. I mean, yeah. It's still funny to me. So, I mean, it's just great.
Yeah. It's not funny to try to tackle him, but go ahead.
There was a G.I. Joe figure of you. I had a small G.I. Joe figure that was William Perry. You've seen that, right? You know about that.
Oh, yeah. G.I. Joe?
Yeah, Let's just tell you how big it is. Not often.
Joe. Yeah. Yes.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wearing a Bears jersey?
Like fatigue pants and a Bears jersey.
They had a hammer for a weapon.
Which they wouldn't let you use in the NFL.
I remember, yes.
Yeah. Did you have Super Grip? Was it Super Grip? Was it one of those?
It wasn't Kung Fu Grip.
It was a hammer with like a big iron ball on it.
How about that?
Yeah. How great is that?
It was funny.
Yeah.
All right, so the roast is going on.
That's large, but go ahead.
The roast of Richard Dent will be held this Saturday. Yes. It's Feb 20, Revel Fulton Market. You can go to WGNradio.com. or the Better Boys Foundation website, bbffamilieservices.org. Some listeners had some questions, and, you know, I don't know.
What we got?
Well, they want your take on the 30 for 30, the ESPN thing, which I have not seen yet. It's on my DVR.
Well, it cast a light that a lot of folks knew about Buddy Ryan and Mike Ditka, but yet they didn't know about, you know, like folks talk about Peyton Manning, how smart he is. But, you know, the other players have to be smart, too, and how Buddy was about giving us the game and allowing us to make decisions out there. And not many folks understood what was taking place. And just every time you jump to a formation, we would jump to something or we would blitz. Folks just didn't understand. But I think, you know, you can have a great scheme, but if you don't have great players – nothing's going to come out of it. You know, I really appreciate the guys that I played with because we were all on the same page all the time. We had two crazy coaches and we was crazy too. So, you know, it was, you know, I think a team is kind of patterned off of his coach. And
you can't have that many guys together not have some squabbles amongst the guys, right?
I mean, in football, I mean, you got 11 guys. In basketball, you're looking at, you know, five. You know, you can win, but in football, you need a good 10, 12, 15 guys, good ball players, to win championships. And, you know, I was just disappointed we didn't win more, you know, which I thought that we could have. You know, that was during my prime.
Yep.
And, you know, when you play 64 games with the Super Bowl and you lose 10 – yeah, what's the problem here? I mean, that, you can put that up against anybody that ever played in the last 4 years and lose 10 games out of 64, and you had home field advantage before you. So I was a little disappointed with that. And so in 30 for 30, it talks about, you know, the quarterback situation. I felt that we didn't manage the quarterback situation well. You know, we brought in Doug Flutie, somebody. To me, that's disrespect to Fuller and Tomczak, who's been on your team. And that, you know, this guy come in 4 weeks into the – in another season, and you start him. You know, if we win that, then you're going to change Vince Lombardi Trophy to the Mike Ditka Trophy, if we could pull that out. But he had a defense that could play like that. But we always knew that, you know, we could spot our opponents 9 points because we knew we was good for one, good for a score, or good for a field goal. So anything above that, we knew we was kind of in trouble. But we won the one like it's never been won before. And we, you know, we had a ball trying to win, you know, some more.
Did you ever play injured?
All the time.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my college coach always tell me, if you didn't have a doctor bill, you're running from people. So you're going to be hurt. Yeah. That comes with it. You know, that comes with it, you know. Bruises are bruises. If it's not broke, then, you know, there's no need in trying to fix it.
How are you getting around today? The hips hurt, the knees hurt, shoulders.
The toes hurt, you know. I got a bad toe and a hip. And, you know, you got a little everything. I'm just trying to, you know, keep flexible and try to, you know, take care of myself as much as I can.
I'll ask this of all three of you. Yeah. Many times your team, that 85 Bears team, is called the best that's ever been in the game of NFL football. Do you agree with that? Do you think you're the best that ever was?
What do you think?
William, what do you think?
Well, you know, at the time, yes. I mean, you know, can't say no because, you know, we went out there and, we played together.
Sure.
And we had fun doing it. And, I couldn't say no more. I'm a rookie coming in there and, you know, with all these guys. And, I mean, I'm just having the time of my life. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we up in the, you know, we in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, you know, you couldn't ask for you could ask for nothing else, you know, better than that. So, I mean, we enjoyed ourselves. Good. It was great.
Sure,
the rookies,
like it.
The rookies had two jobs. They had to bring the donuts on Saturday and milk, and they had to carry the film projector. But that's you know what you had to do. But and I think you were the only rookie on the team that year. And didn't nobody else make it? I think. Butthead was with you too. But Butthead with you. Yeah, but when people are talking about Denver right now, they need to try to beat Baltimore or somebody or Tampa Bay defense. You can't just jump to the top. You know what I mean? You can't. We didn't allow any points. Okay.
Well, I think
at halftime we had minus yards. So we weren't giving up much. Go ahead.
I think if you look at the depth of that team and you start going into the number of star players they had, it was pretty stunning.
Sure.
Position by position. Now, I had a quarterback for the first time in my career in the 1986 Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. After the 1985 season, I was so excited. What a thrill. His name was Tony Eason. Mm-hmm. And for about 5 minutes in New Orleans, it was a thrill until these two gentlemen and their cohorts got on Tony Eason. He lasted about half the game, and his career was never the same after that.
Yep.
So that Super Bowl, they completely crushed the New England Patriots. That was as dominant a Super Bowl performance as I've ever seen. So from that standard, they were head and shoulders above everyone else at the time they were playing.
Well, we didn't, there's no disrespect to the Patriots. We had played them a lot of part in the year, I think right after the Miami game. So we knew what we was getting into, and that was a tough game here in Chicago. But, our mind was set. You come out with a song 8 weeks into the season talking about the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl shuffle and whatever, It was about getting it done. Chicago, the people here at Broad Shoulders felt comfortable about, what we was doing. They could brag. They knew that we was going to come through. And after losing the year before, and we got on that plane coming back from San Francisco. We said we're going to come back and we're going to kick everybody's tail.
And Willie Gault goes running down that sideline, and there's no one there except Willie Gault.
That's world class.
Boy, did you guys get it done. Team for the ages.
And did any other team have a video?
Well, everybody tried. You should ask Marcus about that. The Raiders came up with something, and they tried to, coming up with something, that's one thing, but meaning it.
Delivering
the package is what it comes to, And we had guys who didn't like it, thought we was too cocky, afraid. Hampton didn't. Yeah, he was a little afraid. You're putting bad luck on us. Hey, man.
Oh, he just can't dance.
Right. There you go. You know that,
Hemp,
right?
I hope you weren't listening.
Until you give him some cocktails, right. Then he can try to dance.
Then, wow. Check him out. Sacked, the roast of Richard Dent. It's this Saturday, February 20th, the Revel Fulton Market. We have Richard Dent in the studio, William the Fridge Perry, and Lee Steinberg. You can go to WGNradio.com or BBFFamilyServices.org for more information. Who do you think is going to be the meanest roast to you?
Oh, I don't know. I get the last word.
You do? You get to come back.
I get the last word. Yeah.
Oh,
so, you know,
it's going to heat up.
With an open bar, come on, open bar and what is it? Dress in black tie, black sheep, whatever you want to.
And all the F-bombs.
Right. And these guys going to sing a little bit. So I don't know if they're singing before or after the roast.
They're bringing you in.
Oh, they're bringing me in. Oh, okay. Well, see, I have something to talk about. These guys getting on the stage, which I grew up with seven brothers and all. We used to have our own little talent show in the backyard. But I've been trying to maybe try to do something with these guys. But
join the band. And Walter Payton was an original member, right?
Right. Walter was the original drummer there. So they're keeping that legacy going. And it's a pleasure. It's a family atmosphere. And it's an opportunity to reach out and touch, many people in the North Lawndale areas, which, what we can do there can maybe broaden our horizon throughout our city, because we all responsible for our city.
That's
we can't
right.
rely on our politicians to take care of our city.
Have a great time Saturday night, and thank you for what you guys did. You brought the city a championship that we'll never forget. So thank you guys.
And we may really never see it again.
Right, well.
We hope.
We hope you get another one.
Fingers crossed.
We hope you, get, yeah. you might we not see what we did, but we hope we get another one.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
We're after this. My pleasure. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
There are a lot of good things that people do in this world. Richard Dent was just in, and he's there to benefit the Better Boys Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are going to talk about the Living Through Giving gala that's coming up. Gala is one of those words where it's like, is it gala or gala?
How rich are you? It depends on how wealthy you are.
I have no money.
Then gala's fine. If you were rich, I would go with gala.
Yeah, I don't know. The mission of the James Tyree Foundation is something we're going to find out right now because we have the executive director of the James Tyree Foundation, Melissa Van Pelt, in the studio. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, how are you?
Do you go gala or gala?
I say gala.
Yeah, I think gala is the way to go.
It's the way to play it. You're doing the right thing.
Maybe by the end of this show, it would be gala.
Let's hope so.
Gala.
That'd be tremendous.
Do you say either or either?
I say either.
Okay, that's why we're saying it's gala and either.
Yeah, all right.
It's gala and either.
Problem solved. Thanks for coming by, you guys. That was great.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right, first off, Melissa, I'd like you to give a little background of James Tyree and the foundation bearing his name.
Sure. Well, the James Tyree Foundation has been in existence for about 4 years now. Mm-hmm. It was established in the name of Jim Tyree, who was the former chairman and CEO of Mesereau Financial, and he was also a well-known Chicago philanthropist.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife, Eve Tyree, established the foundation because Jim believed in the power of education and that every child in Chicago should have the best opportunities in education.
And that's, I believe, where it's Jai?
Yes.
Jai Luster. We just had this off the air. These are just great names. Jai Luster is here. You're the founder and executive director of Calm Classroom. And we would like to find out a little about that now.
Well, Calm Classroom is a school-based program. And that's why the Tyree Foundation helps fund us. And really, I'd have to first say, without their support, we would never have been able to serve the Chicago Public Schools as effectively. So it's been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
What we do in the schools is we instruct teachers to lead very simple techniques to the kids that really help them learn to control their emotional states, as well as focus their minds more effectively on schoolwork.
That is fantastic. There have been so many things going around lately. You know, when Bill and I went to school, we really didn't have that much homework. Now, there is so much work given to these kids and so much expected by them that the levels of anxiety and depression are way, way up in children at school.
Right. And so this way, the teachers and the whole school as a whole, because there's school.
Works together.
They work together to help acknowledge that issue and then give the kids tools plus practice it in the classroom every day, three times a day. For short, little two-minute increments.
Can you give us some sort of an example of this? How would this go down exactly in school?
Well, maybe what I'll do is lead a technique, just teachers would do at a break for the kids in the middle of a day.
All right.
I don't need a number two pencil or anything, do I?
No, this is
a Ticonderoga.
This is like just participate.
All right. Good.
So if you happen to be driving, make sure you don't close your eyes.
Solid advice, Jai. Very solid advice.
Or pull over and do it.
Right.
But if you're at home or at a desk at work, you can just close your eyes as part of the process so that you can focus inside and let yourself calm down more fully.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll lead you right through it just like a teacher would do.
All right.
And what we're going to practice is a real simple technique called feeling the breath. And you're simply going to bring your attention to the sensation of the air coming in and out of your nose.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there is to it. If any other thoughts come through your mind, just let them float away.
Okay.
They will come.
Okay.
And then just come back to the physical feeling of your breath. So here we go. We're going to practice feeling the breath. Sit up straight and comfortably in your chair.
I have terrible posture, so this is difficult for me.
Or keep your hands
on the... No talking during class, right, Jai?
I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
Somebody's going to have to stay after.
But keep your hands on the wheel if you're driving. Rest your hands really in a relaxed position. And now please, if you're not driving, close your eyes. feel your feet either flat on the floor or resting, and relax your shoulders back and down. Let your whole body be still. Breathe normally and relax. As you breathe in through your nose, notice the feeling of the air moving in. As you breathe out through your nose, notice the feeling of the air moving out. If you become aware of any thoughts passing through your mind, let them float away and bring your attention back to the feeling of the breath. Feel yourself breathing.
This is way too quiet for radio.
Very quiet.
Now, everyone out there, take a deep breath in.
Yes.
Hold.
Yes.
Exhale slowly. Notice how you feel. And slowly open your eyes. And this is what the teachers are doing with the kids as a break, three times a day, spaced out throughout the day, so that they drop their stress. They're practicing it themselves. And although on radio it's a little slow, in a classroom, the purpose is to teach them some balance so they can recharge.
It's like meditation, which now I noticed is being called mindfulness.
Correct.
And it focuses on the breath to chill yourself out, basically, and give yourself a little break from the stress.
Now, correct. I closed my eyes during that, wallet's gone. Melissa, what happened?
I know. You have to watch that.
How did that happen?
But I have seen this in action at school. I have been on one of the visits with Jai. And it's amazing. These kids talk about, we not only learn it in school, but then we use it at home, too.
Right.
These are techniques that you can use all the time to calm yourself down.
So it has real beneficial effects for kids who are under high stress for overachievement. That's really beneficial.
AKA all kids everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
And then also in settings in some of the areas of the city where there's a lot more violence and difficulties, those schools really have shown dramatic shifts in issues on bullying and any kinds of level of emotional or physical violence.
You have some sort of yoga background, obviously, because this is somehow tied in, right?
I have some of that, but the techniques we've chosen here are really not that directly related.
They're
just simple focusing relaxation techniques.
What a great idea. It's called Calm Classroom, and Jai Luster is the founder and executive director. If you'd like to find out more about this, calmclassroom.com. And this is a specific school. This isn't like some instruction that all schools could learn, because all schools should learn it.
Yeah, we're currently serving over 120 Chicago public schools.
That's great.
We're in partnership with UCLA to serve the LA schools, and the city of Detroit is just adopted this on a district-wide basis.
Fantastic idea. And without the James Tyree Foundation, it would be difficult to continue this.
Very much so, with current budget cuts across all education.
So Melissa Van Pelt, Executive Director for the James Tyree Foundation, how can we help? Tell us the Living Through Giving Gala, the information on that.
The Living Through Giving Gala is the primary way that we raise funds so that we can fund these great programs like Calm Classroom. We have about 12 other ones that we funded just this year in 2015. So the fundraiser itself is coming up. It's next week. It's February 25th. From 5:30 to 7:30. It's a 2-hour gala that happens at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. And it is open to the public. We do have notable people that come every year. And in fact, one of them is Richard Dent. So I was hoping to run into him. He came last year, the year before, and we're hoping that he'll come again this year. So I hope he's still listening.
Nice.
People do so many wonderful things. Yeah. Bill, we got to start doing better things.
Well, I want to invite both of you to come as our guests. Yeah. If you're able to, we would love that.
All right. That'd be nice.
But it is open to the public, and you can get tickets on our website. It's James Tyree, T-Y-R-E-E, foundation.org, and you can purchase your tickets there.
What a great idea. I'll check my calendar, and if I can make it, I am definitely interested in attending.
But no talking during the exercises, right?
I'm sorry, it's just on radio. It's a little different.
All right.
You're right.
Listen, this is really a great idea because kids are just way too stressed out. Right. I know adults are, but kids shouldn't be.
Right, and a good place to work for adults is you start when they're children. And then they pick that habit up and bring it right into their work and into their home lives.
Great idea. His name is Jai Luster, founder, executive director of Calm Classroom. You can go to calmclassroom.com. And Melissa Van Pelt, executive director of the James Tyree Foundation. And you can go to jamestyreefoundation.org. Tyree is spelled T-Y-R-E-E foundation.org and find out all the information you need to know about the Living Through Giving Gala, which is happening next Thursday. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Guys.
Thank you.
A quick break and then more show ahead. Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. Jai Luster, executive director for Calm Classroom, left me with a book. In 30 seconds to 3 minutes, you can help your students develop self-awareness, mental focus, and inner calm. So, Bill, you and Kevin will be under my tutelage for the next 3 months.
Fine.
We can do eye circles.
Tutelage?
Yeah, there will be some tutelaging.
That's a fun word.
That means you'll be teaching us, correct? You'll be tutoring us.
Can you tootle me?
God,
we have that on tape, Kevin. I hope you're happy. That's on tape.
I'm sending that to your mother.
I'm always concerned, and we're not the first people in radio to do this, when you get somebody on teaching people how to relax over the radio, my fear is that somebody's just going to doze off while driving and hit a train. That's my fear.
Jai did tell you to pull over.
Right.
And you don't do anything anyone asks you to do. When they said close your eyes, you did not.
I closed one eye.
Okay.
I don't trust you. I thought you were going to trust me.
I
thought you were going to steal my gold. My pot of gold.
It's not a pot of gold. It's a bag of gold and it's gum.
Yeah. Still, I don't want you to steal
any. You have no gold.
I don't want you to steal my gum gold.
But you know me, and you know me well enough to know that I tried it.
Right, you did. I saw it.
So you need to be the responsible broadcaster to say, you probably shouldn't leave that much dead air on the air.
There were some moments of extreme quietness, but I didn't know if,
it was relaxation.
Exactly. That's what it was.
You never sounded tenser, Wendy.
Well, because, you think, first of all, I like to try different things.
Right.
And, since I've been cupped lately and I do this acupuncture, I'm all into this meditation and mindfulness.
Exactly.
So I was trying to participate.
Right.
So I need you to fill in the lots of dead air while you're meditating.
There were a couple of periods. One of them went on 6-7-8 minutes with nobody saying anything. But
it was only 6-7-8 minutes.
It seemed longer.
I was trying so hard, but I just at one point said, "No, I can't. This is radio.
You don't want to get that relaxed. We got a responsibility here."
I got a quick 20-second nap during that meditation. I feel vigorous. I'm vigorous.
Well, then it worked.
Totally. It worked. My stress level's back up, though, because I look at you and Bertrand, and boy, that just...
Why do you always bring me into this?
Because you work with us?
Just to include you, Steve, just to be part of the show, I'm
sure.
I'm so
on your side almost all the time, Wendy.
You really aren't, so it's very funny that you say that.
I think we need another relaxation meditation.
He just gave me the Mick Jagger pose.
I saw that,
looking
the rooster.
Like a rooster.
You got the rooster from Steve.
That was my indignation.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break and then some news and then more show coming your way next. It's us, it's Bill and Wendy, and it's WGN.
What song is this? Mr. West, Mr. Fresh,
Mr. By himself, he's so impressed. This is Kanye West's Westminster song about the Westminster dog show.
It's Good Morning, but that right at the beginning, the ooh, ooh, oohs was from another song.
Oh, was it? Did he sample that? He probably sampled it.
I'll come up with it later.
We've talked about Kanye West on the show
quite
a bit this week.
Every day? Him and Trump. It's going to call, we should call it like the Kanye Trump show.
Right, that's what it's become. Every day there's been a new twist and turn in Kanye West's life. I don't even know if I need to chronicle all of them. It started out with what happened at the Grammys with Taylor Swift. She won a Grammy Award, and she went up and took a little shot at Kanye West, who's been saying that without him, she would not be where she is today. She would not be famous because of Kanye West. He went on to clarify.
I still don't get that. Am I the only one missing this?
She was already famous. People knew who she was. She had been performing for a while.
More country western.
Much more country western as opposed to pop, which she's transitioned into.
Although the new country western is pretty much pop.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. But he said that him going on stage and interrupting her speech really put her on the map and made her more famous.
That's so not true.
It's so not true. It's so not true.
And I'm talking like her, by the way. That is so totally not true.
Right. Right. So she took a swipe at him, and then he said he didn't mean anything by it, and he suggested, and we haven't even talked about this. This is another weird twist. He has suggested that he doesn't want to insult her because there's still a chance that the two of them could sleep together.
What does Kim Kardashian think of that?
She has not been reached for comment.
Does she even understand that?
She did not immediately return our calls when we posed that question to her. So there have been other twists and turns. Like he tweeted that he doesn't really think that white papers or the white media can comment on his music, on black music, because they don't understand it. He also declared Bill Cosby innocent. There's been a lot going on. And then we found out yesterday that backstage at Saturday Night Live, he was unhappy with the way things were going.
He threw a tantrum.
He didn't want to perform. He wanted to walk off on the show. He did one song. He was scheduled to do a second song in the second half.
And this was just during a rehearsal.
No, this was during the live broadcast.
Because I heard Dean this morning say this was just the rehearsal that he was doing it. So that's why it's even worse.
The stories that came out yesterday, unless that's been altered, either way, he was going to say to Saturday Night Live, if you don't do things my way, I'm out of here. And it took Lorne Michaels, the producer, and his wife.
Who is she again?
Kay Ballard, the actress Kay Ballard.
He wishes.
So they talked him into staying, and for the good of humanity, he did stay and performed a second, what we'll call a song. So now they have found tape that they believe, and I don't know, I've heard this tape a couple of times. It seems legit. It is him backstage just on a tirade of how unhappy he is. Apparently what they did was they didn't want to put his full set on the stage. He had commissioned a set for his second song, and at Saturday Night Live they went, it's too cumbersome, it's too bulky, we don't have time to get it all in and out. So they decided we'll just go with a bare bones set, and he was none too pleased to find this out. So he went on a little bit of a tirade, and we have a tape of it. Now, Kevin has spent the better part of the day editing this tape and bleeping it, because you'll find this hard to believe. Conway Twitty is also in the tape.
It's only make-believe, Bill.
I don't know why Conway Twitty was there, because he passed away years ago, but he was. And Kanye West, it just keeps he keeps swearing, which you shouldn't do, Wendy. That's bad. So we'll play the tape. It is bleeped, hopefully in all the right places. Kevin, our careers are in your hands here. See if you can.
I'm not willing to put my career.
No,
in
are you?
Hands.
Is it too nervous?
Hey, I got you.
I trust you more than Bill, actually.
Well, we'll play you the tape. It's as you would expect. It's a little surly.
Look at that! It took my stage off of SNL without asking me. Now I'm gone. That ad table switch. Y'all ain't gonna do this. Who's breaking the internet? I've been through 6 years of this. Let's get to it, bro. Are they by 50%, Stanley Kruger. Apostle Paul, and Escobar. By 50% more influential than any other human being. Don't with me. Don't with me. By 50%, dead or alive. By 50% for the next 1,000 years. Stanley Kubrick, yay.
Who's he talking to?
To anyone who will listen.
Is he just muttering? And this was during the live show. You are correct. Dean is wrong.
I'm not here to trounce Dean, but it was, he had
moments
done one song.
He was going to go on to do the second.
Yeah. So they had to convince Kanye West again. For the benefit of all mankind, please, Kanye, do not leave. The world needs a second song from you. And that clip we just played, although edited, was better than either of the two songs I think he did on Saturday Night Live. Now, it's hard to understand part of it. It's hard to understand all of it, because most of it is swearing. What he says is, I'm bummed. He starts out by saying, I'm bummed. He's upset that Saturday Night Live isn't treating him the way he wants to be treated. He says, I'm bummed. That and Taylor Swift, fake. And then a part of her anatomy. Then he says, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. That's the part I told you about.
Me and Taylor.
Yeah.
What?
Taylor
Jesus.
And I might still have sex is the correct terminology if you're incorrect. Yeah. But yeah. But then he goes on, and this is the strangest part of that whole diatribe, is he's explaining to the people who are there in the room with him who he is more influential than. All right, so he says, this is a quote, and again, I'm going to bleep myself a couple times because of the swearing, but Kanye West says this, and explain why you would pull this out, because I don't understand this. He says, by 50% more influential than any other human being, referring to himself. Don't blank with me. Don't blank with me. Don't blank with me. He said it three times before the cock crowed. That's biblical. Then he says, by 50%, dead or alive, by 50%, the next 1,000 years, Stanley Kubrick, yee.
What does he think? Stanley Kubrick's going to make a movie about Kanye West?
Well, Stanley Kubrick is also gone. We've lost.
Well, then I guess that'd Stanley be tough Kubrick for him gone. To make a movie with Kanye and Conway.
But
Twitty.
But then he goes on to say, he lists a bunch of other people, celebrities, that he is more influential than. And he says, I'm 50% more influential than Stanley Kubrick, Picasso, the Apostle Paul, blanking Picasso, and Escobar. That's Pablo Escobar. So he's putting all of his Pablos in one basket, which he shouldn't do. Pablo Picasso, Pablo Escobar. And it's just weird that he's just picking names out of a hat at this point. He's just mentioning anybody who is influential that he is 50% more influential than. Like, why would you do that? What's in it? Like, what if you just went on a tirade and said, you know what, I'm more important than Harvey Korman.
I would say there's no way.
Mighty Mouse. I'm more important than Mighty Mouse. The Hudson Brothers. I'm 50% more important than the Hudson Brothers. You don't just pick names out of a hat and just yell them.
I don't even care, Bill. I got to tell you, I don't really care about Kanye West. And a text will say that as well. Stop talking about Kanye West. Those of us who work for a living in the real world don't care about that nonsense, which is true. But unfortunately, you bring up Kanye West's name to the millennials and younger people, and they're like, the guy's a genius. Oh, my God, that guy has changed the world.
But does he fall under that bracket of Emperor's New Clothes where everybody says it because everybody else is saying it, and you go, boy, if I go against the grain and say
no,
Kanye
I think
West,
they like him.
I apologize for not getting it. I keep trying to get it. I watched both songs on Saturday night. And
You didn't fast forward.
I did not. I was watching it live on Saturday,
so
I didn't have the option. No, if I was watching it on disc or on tape or whatever, what do the kids use?
DVR.
If I had it on my Betamax, I would have fast forwarded it. But I watched both songs. I'm like, I don't understand the appeal of this guy at all.
I don't get half the appeal of some of the guests, the musical guests on SNL. There was one dude the other, I think 2 weeks ago, I can't remember who was hosting, but he was just, it was like techno music and he was playing guitar and making weird screamy noises. I don't even know what band that was.
I don't know who it is.
But I mean, I watch SNL and I love it. And you and I have talked about this. We've watched it pretty much every episode.
Since the very first.
Give or take, you might miss one or whatever. But I mean, these musical acts these days, I'm telling you, Bill.
Oh, the kids with their loud music and their long hair. Every once in a while, there's a band on that I'm not that familiar with, and then I end up really enjoying them. That's happened a couple times. Like, I never heard. Lana Del Rey is a good example. Foster the People is a good example.
Kanye West is better than Lana Del Rey. And that's not saying much.
Is he 50% more better? Because I'm looking to see if her name is on his list.
All right. Somebody just says, I'm sorry, I'm a millennial, and I think Kanye is a word I can't say on the air.
Oh. What does it start with?
A.
Nope. You lost me.
I'm a millennial.
Artichoke?
He is an artichoke.
Is that what they're calling him, an artichoke?
I wish he was. I would dip him in oil and vinegar and eat him, and then he'd be gone.
That would have also been better than either of the two songs he did.
As a millennial myself, I think it's like fine music. It doesn't stand out to me at all, and but his like antics just make it so not worth it. He's so easy to just forget at this point.
Now I agree with that, but you know how the way evolution works is every generation looks at their kids' music and goes, I have no idea what that is. I know my parents did that with the music I liked, Tony Orlando and Dawn. I know that I do that with my
kids'
music.
Knock three times.
On the ceiling if you love me.
Want me.
Yeah, want me.
You cleaned it up.
I had to clean it up for air. I'm 50% more important than Dawn, not Tony Orlando.
Oh, God. Everybody's just swearing, and millennials are mad at me because they don't like him, and they think he's starts with a D. Two words.
Dum-dum?
Yes.
Dorito?
A dum-dum. And I figured out, thanks to the help of our wonderfully brilliant texting audience at 312-981-7200, the song that Kanye lifted.
Oh, really?
So can we take a break and compare?
Yeah. All right, so that's coming up next. And then
no
more
Kanye talk.
No more Kanye. Tomorrow, it's a Kanye-free zone.
Conway again.
Yeah, no Conway Twitty tomorrow. I'm still talking about Kanye West tomorrow. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, this is a sample.
A junior sample.
Oh, God, me and you and the three other Hee-Haw fans really like it.
A lot of
like
Hee-Haw fans are enjoying that right now.
So when Kevin came back with the Kanye West song, what's it called?
Good Morning.
Good morning to you, but what's it called?
Good Morning.
At the very beginning, I picked something out that just sounded very familiar to me.
Right.
You play the Kanye song?
Good morning.
And now play the song that it is lifted, has been lifted from.
It's a very short little bit, but it's
okay.
Oh, that part.
Someone saved my life tonight.
That's it. You're
John.
Right.
I know.
I was going to say,
suck.
Oh, he's stealing from Elton John.
It's a sample, though. There's a
you
difference.
You can't just sample. I mean, seriously.
What if I sampled somebody's car? What if I went up to some car and went, I'm not going to steal your car. I'm going to sample your car and drove it away.
How long are you sampling it for?
A couple months. Bring it back in the summer.
But it's different because it's just such loose rules in the music industry, and it's something that's been going on forever.
Tell George Harrison that.
I will say that claim to be 50% better than everyone ever, and yet you're using sampled music. It's
right.
You know.
Oh yeah, I like where you're going
right,
with that.
Right, right, right.
I'm 50% better than Elton John, yet I have to use his music.
True.
I like where you're going with that.
Very true. All right, I will make a vow that no matter what Kanye West does between now and tomorrow,
how about
I will
forever?
Not mention him. I can't say forever because this guy is a constant source of material.
Yeah, but who cares about him?
We had texters say that there's similarities between him and his behavior and future President Donald Trump and his behavior. And there is.
Okay, so we're going to have back-to-back years. We're going to have Trump and then Kanye for president.
Those are our next two presidents.
He already announced that he was planning to run, didn't he?
Right.
He did.
But now, usually and typically, presidents get two terms.
No,
so
I don't think this time you'll see that. I'm pretty sure you won't see that this time around.
He's going to get 50% more terms.
But if Trump goes to get another term,
right.
He will run against Kanye. Who will win in that? That's what I want to know.
That's the Earth just falling off of its axis and just spiraling into the galaxy.
That's God going, that's it. I give
up. I'm out. I wash my hands of this planet. All right, we're going to take a
Elton
quick
John,
break.
Elton John, someone saved my life tonight. Thank you, Texter.
Yeah, they were right. They were absolutely right. A quick break, and then we'll find out what Ro and Anna have coming next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.